really is amazing how many albums, how many songs AC/DC has sold, and how many of their songs that has the word rock in it.
Yeah, usually when you do something really well, you don't call attention to it. I think they're kind of the standout.
I saw the list. I don't even think they listed all of the songs.
No. The new album, Rock or Bust, also has the songs titled Rock the Blues Away, Got Some Rock and Roll Thunder, and Rock the House. Yeah, AC/DC, 21 songs with the word rock in the title. After the new ones, there are 17 others. Rocker, Rock and Roll Singer, It's a Long Way to the Top, parentheses, if you want to rock and roll. There's going to be some rockin', Let There Be Rock, Rock and Roll Damnation, Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution, For Those About to Rock, That's the Way I Want to Rock and Roll, Rock Your Heart Out, Heart is a Rock, Whiskey on the Rocks, Can't Stop Rock and Roll, Rock and Roll Train, She Likes rock and roll dream, and rockin' all the way.
I was wrong. Maybe they got them all. I don't remember seeing Rock and Roll Train in there.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's just them being campy their own way.
It might be, but then again, it might just be them going with, you know, what they're good at. It's like, you know what? Like Michael Bolton, he has a nice career singing about love and things. Other artists make a living singing about Jesus, gospel music. AC/DC rocks about rock.
You can rock about rock, but you don't have to call everything rock.
I know, but... Maybe they're limited and they recognize it and they just go with it.
What do we do? We rock.
We rock.
Mm-hmm. When was the last time you heard?
We couldn't sell many albums if we sang about what else we do, which is smoke.
Yeah, it's like, when was the last time you heard an AC/DC ballad?
Yeah, that's true. Oh my God. Yeah, one of the very few bands, like, you know, 70s, 80s, that never had a really rock ballad.
And most bands, even if they only had one, they have one that they will point at and be like, see, we went a little softer on this one.
Like Def Leppard, Two yes. Steps Behind.
Mm-hmm.
I love Def Leppard. I hate that song. And when all the unplugged acoustic stuff was in vogue.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got a call from a listener. Because this was in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yes.
Got a call from a listener. Hey, do you think AC/DC will be... don't even finish the sentence. Doesn't even make any sense. He goes, you know this unplugged stuff? How come MTV doesn't... Shut up!
Yeah.
Doesn't even make any sense.
No.
First of all, they wouldn't do it. And the name of the band doesn't work with it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Did John Wayne wear a dress? No. No.
Yeah, not even near the end of his career in some sort of campy father-son switch movie.
Just a concept. I went, think about it, dude. It's the name of the band, AC/DC. And you want them to play Unplugged.
You're right, it doesn't fit.
I wonder what they would say if you asked them that.
I have a feeling there'd be a lot of Fs.
Yeah. Are you f***ing with me? Well, Kiss did it. Kiss.
They also wear makeup.
Yeah.
AC/DC comes out on stage and says, we look like this all the time.
I'm losing my hair. I don't give a flying f***. I just wear a hat.
80 years old. Angus still running around stage in a little boy outfit.
I really think, not taking anything away from Angus, but I think that's why they're partial to just three or four chords. Because when you're spinning around on the floor playing, you ain't got time to really think about a lot of stuff.
That's why, you know, and maybe that's a part of it. Or maybe they just decided they had that old wisdom of find what you do and just do that thing well.
I know we don't have it in the library. Let's see if they're... any of the new AC/DC songs.
God, that's sad.
All right, so far I still think it's just the two on YouTube. Rock or Bust, Play Ball, AC/DC Rock or Bust. Then parenthetically, it says audio. I'm glad they included that.
Oh, that's nice.
And the rest of it's just old stuff.
That is surprising, though, because usually with any named artist band, the album ends up on YouTube.
And if you haven't, I brought this up before, if you haven't seen the video or the concert of them playing live at River Plate Stadium in 2009,
mm-hmm.
you need to watch that one.
Yeah.
Oof. That's one where the crowd is just undulating, just the sea of people.
I'm sure there have been bigger crowds. I don't know what the head count was, but I have never seen that many people at any event ever at any time.
It's like one of those scenes that if it was done in a movie, it would all be CGI'd, all the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Or they just have, like, you know, another 50,000 dummies that other people are holding on to. All right, take this one good, man.
Quick, put a smoke in it.
No, I don't see anything. Maybe it's not being received well. Maybe that's why we only have the, what, two songs?
The other song's not even in there. Last time we played it, you played it off your computer. Yeah, Rock or Bust is not in our library.
It just Play Ball.
Yes.
Wow.
Hmm. Okay. Certainly not my call.
Did we even get any... Usually the record reps are like drop off an album or something for people to listen to.
I haven't seen anything.
I hadn't either. That's
my guess is Don Davis is partial to the old stuff and just played one to appease us. Ha ha, 8 songs. You.
Call me Sasquatch. I'll show you assholes.
What?
I'll show you assholes.
Oh.
I think Don channeled me there for a second. Almost came running right out.
Okay. What do you want to start with? You got any good audio?
I do, actually. How heavy do you want to start? You want to start heavy or light?
Let's go light. I think we kind of started heavy the last couple of days.
All right, that's fair enough. We will start light with cut number 6. In Tampa, Florida the other day, someone lost a pet monkey. And in Florida, when you see a monkey run across your backyard, you call 911 to report it.
Tampa police. Yeah, I was just sitting in the backyard and a monkey just ran through it.
Where is this, sir?
I live on Drive in Tampa, but it's long gone. It was just running along the river. Did someone lose a monkey at some point?
Not that I'm aware of, sir, but what was that address again?
River Grove Drive. Yeah, it was a relatively large monkey, I guess, about the size of a relatively big dog or something.
I am so glad he added the words big and dog in there.
Relatively large monkey, I guess, about the size of a relatively big dog or something.
Sure.
But it's long gone now. I don't know. It was very strange.
Okay.
Please. Tell me the dispatcher doesn't ask, what was he wearing?
No, I'm sorry, he doesn't.
You know which direction he went in?
What difference does it make? You think monkeys don't know how to dodge and weave?
He's just following the river.
Okay. Do you know which direction he went in?
It was headed towards 40th Street down the river. I live about off of 40th Street. Yeah, I live on, and it was just sort of like following the river, jumping from in trees and just running along.
Singing Proud Mary. I mean, the part of people in the river happy
right.
to give.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, well, what was it doing? I don't know, man. Stuff monkeys do. Climbing in trees and...
Hey, you never watch TV? It's what monkeys do. He's walking around throwing crap at people. Saying things like, ooh-ooh. He didn't stop and talk to me.
Why do you sound so confused? What do you think this is, the beginning of the Planet of the Apes?
My guess is he's up to no good.
Was there Is there a follow-up story?
There's a follow-up phone call.
Okay.
This is from a different eyewitness who decided to call 911 after seeing the monkey in her yard.
I saw in my backyard, in my home, the monkey jumping the roof, the another house, and the tree and another house.
What color is it?
It was a look like brown, dark brown.
Did she say dyed brown?
Dark brown.
Oh.
Like brown, dark brown?
It was brown, but it didn't look natural. I think he is a dye job.
Is he using this just for monkey?
Maybe he's an older monkey and he has the gray hair. So he has to use it just for monkey. Or that monkey formula that they put on their hair. The Grecian.
House.
What color is it?
It was a look like brown, dark brown.
I would have stopped there.
Well, what other colors do you see monkeys come in?
Well, I mean, there are a few others.
What kind?
Well, I'm trying to think. There have been some gray, some that are they're black.
It's a monkey. It's running loose. Even if he ain't a brown, I don't know what accent that was.
I don't know.
Not brown. It's probably still the same monk I'm calling about.
That probably is, but...
What do you think? He changed fur so nobody could catch him?
He's in a motel bathroom. Changing his hair color.
I don't know if he's on the run. Tommy Lee Jones was behind him.
Maybe he shaved his beard. Because that wouldn't stand out.
He came by last week posing as a doctor.
And actually, that's not a terrible question for the 911 operator to ask.
What color was he?
Yes, because what if there's more than one monkey? And they have to figure out, hey, is this the same monkey that the other guy called about? Well, or did a small zoo escape?
Okay. Fair enough. Regardless, I think you pick them up.
Yeah, and hopefully you take them seriously.
I saw in my backyard, in my home, the monkey jumping the roof, the another house, and the tree and another house.
What color is it?
It was a look like brown, dark brown.
And you're saying a monkey?
Yes. It look like 2 or 3 feet, more or less.
About 3 feet?
Yes.
Yeah, he's not tall.
Okay. Were you afraid of this monkey at all, ma'am? Did he show any signs of aggression?
No, because he kept making the left turns. I heard him actually say, left turn, Clyde. Maybe he's undercover. Maybe he's a secret chimp.
A spy monkey?
That's a lot of links.
Oh. Were there only two?
Unfortunately.
Damn it.
I know, it's one of those things. You're just in your backyard. You're relaxing. Enjoying the day. And then... out of nowhere, right across your backyard.
So when the police receive a call, is it like, is there a printout on their screen in their squad car? Do they actually get the call? Hey, there's a loose monkey over at da-da-da.
Yeah.
Is that real?
Don't.
This ain't code.
No. Did you say a monkey? Yeah, man, a monkey. Damn. You hear me?
I'm going to assume it's not, with a 911 operator, there's not much you can throw at them that's going to catch them off guard. I think of all the weird things, just the weird things that people do to themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got something stuck in my butt. Need the fire department.
Okay, sir, what do you have stuck in your butt?
So something large, I can't get back out. I'm going to need the jaws of life. And hurry up, because it's getting hot.
And that's one of those things, even in that situation, they need to ask really specific questions because they need to know if they have to talk you through some sort of emergency procedure. Sir, is there anyone there with you right now?
I don't know. Do you think I should unplug it?
Yes, I think that would be a fantastic idea. Unplug the apparatus.
Okay. Because that bulb sure is getting hot.
Sir, did you put a lamp in your butt?
Part of a lamp.
Which part?
The part that was attached to the Easy Bake Oven. Me and my wife was playing that, what do you call it, cosplay?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cosplay.
She wanted me to stick Easy Bake Oven up my ass while we played Assumption Blumpkin.
Okay. Do you have one more light thing before we go into break? I hate to ruin the mood.
Cut number 9. Brian Williams was back on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon last night to slow jam the news. This time the topic was immigration reform.
Two weeks ago, President Obama signed an executive order that granted temporary legal status to 5 million undocumented workers and provided a path to citizenship for those that meet certain criteria, thus giving immigrants a new way to enter our country.
Oh, yeah. President Obama's taken a hard stance on immigration. He wants to let everyone inside. You gotta do it the right way. You can't go in through the back door.
Can't go in through the back door. It's alright.
No, no.
Except they're lining up to get inside the USA. Just like it was a Kmart on Black Friday.
I figured you'd appreciate that. That was just one part of it, but I know how much of a fan you are of Brian Williams. Especially since he's the only seemingly news guy with any personality.
I really think had they offered him The Tonight Show, he would have taken it.
You think so?
He's
such an... I mean, yeah, he's got that side to him where he has a sense of humor, but he's such a staunch news guy.
He did... He had a recurring role on 30 Rock. Did at least one appearance on SNL.
Mm-hmm.
And the 30 Rock, it was the live version that they did. It was like a retrospective on television.
Okay.
And he and Baldwin played a two news anchors.
Mm-hmm.
And for the East Coast, Brian Williams did it. For the West Coast, they got one of the other actors to do it. I guess Brian couldn't do them both.
Okay.
And Brian did it better than the actor.
Good on him. Yeah, it's one of those things. He may have the perfect situation where he gets to, you know, do what he loves, which is, you know, being a journalist and sitting at the news desk and having that, you know, that demeanor and respected and Cronkite. But then he can also go off and have a little fun. On the other hand, who was the guy that had the white-haired guy who came on, I think it was on CBS after Letterman for a few years?
Tom Snyder.
Yeah. He had more of a serious interview show. Wasn't that what that format was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just lean back, smoke the entire time.
I could see Brian Williams doing a show kind of like that, a little bit more serious interview show nighttime, but still having some fun with it.
I was looking to see if I still had the clip where Brian Williams was on Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Williams brought up the fact that he was having dinner with Regis, then does this Regis.
Know what happened recently? I had dinner with our national treasurer, Regis Philbin, just about a week ago.
What, did you lose an office pool or something?
The two of us in New York City. He is really America's pre-existing condition. He...
Wow. He is. If you can find pound for pound a better entertainment value than that man.
Exactly. I've said that.
We got a little booster seat for him, and by God, we spent about half of the dinner talking about our mutual love for you.
Well, that's
and he
overrated,
said, you know, he says things like, "Don't you find yourself just craving the approval of that guy?" Don't you find yourself just craving the approval of that guy? I love it. Mm-hmm. I love that Letterman. I can't stand the fact that I love that Letterman.
God bless you, Regis.
All right. We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
3:35, first check on traffic. Over the MyPlates.com traffic center, Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Supercuts. Only a couple of incidents right now. Let's start up in Dallas. Northbound 45, right at I-30. Got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic's backed up back to Illinois Avenue. And at Forest Hill, eastbound I-20, right near Business 287. That's Mansfield Highway. Road construction there has those two right lanes shut down. That has traffic backed up back from Forest Hill Drive. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Yahoo Live. Some more rain tonight, a low of 54. Tomorrow, a little bit more rain with a high of 67. Right now, 57 degrees, but 97.1 to Eagle.
What's going on, boss? I just want to say thank you for everything you do, man. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
I was a listener that walked up to a Dallas police officer sitting in a squad car. He sent me the video. I put it online. I emailed back. I went, "Was you nervous?" Man, I sat in my truck for about 5 minutes just waiting.
Just nervous in general or?
Well, you're going to be nervous. I told you I was at Jersey Mike's one night, and the place was packed full of Addison officers on break. I thought, well, this would be a perfect. I don't feel like it.
You got shy. It's okay. It's okay to admit that you got shy about it. I would be shy about it.
So I could see why we're not getting a lot of videos. The one that this guy shot, he was holding the camera down and sideways and went, "All right, I got to fix that somehow." Because it was severely, I had to turn it back normal, and then I had to use a video stabilization program on it.
Jesus.
And not that it's that huge of a deal, but it was a white listener and a black officer.
To me, that actually is a big deal.
To set my truck.
All right. Do I go now or do I wait? Where did it happen?
I don't know.
Okay.
You really think I could tell by the video?
I don't know what's in the background.
You couldn't see much of the background.
Okay.
I'm shaking.
Shakier than the Zapruder film? At least in the Zapruder film, you could tell it was Elm Street in 35.
Pull up my Facebook page and watch the video.
I can't right now.
Why? You locked up?
Oh, yeah.
Good for you. Okay.
I'll pull up my phone if you want.
I'm not really that interested. I did check. I posted the video about, it was right before the show, I think.
Okay.
So far, 15,000 people have watched it.
Jesus. That's really impressive in that amount of time.
I don't understand how that works. Do people just sit at their computer waiting? Or do you get a notification if somebody that you follow or whatever?
Yeah, that can happen. You have to designate it. You can be like, if you can elect to follow somebody, I think you get a notification. Or you can favorite somebody on Facebook. So when they post something new, you'll get an alert.
Oh, okay.
And then there are the people that are on it all day. And then just when something new happens, they go, oh, what? Something new. Huh.
Okay, so what's your heavy stuff?
My heavy stuff is, of course, it's Ferguson related because most people can't seem to talk about much else. And that would include Charles Barkley, former NBA great and current NBA analyst. The thing is, though, it seems like he's turning into one of those guys that whenever something race relations happens and it's in the news, they will go to him to get his opinion because a lot of times he's, you know, controversial, the things that he says. Usually he's one of those guys, it's like he speaks his mind and doesn't care what you think about it. So CNN actually sat down with him. It was Brooke Baldwin, an anchor for CNN, and they aired parts of this interview throughout the day today. Cut three is the first part of it when he starts out and just he says, you know, this is when we talk about racial problems.
We've always had a racial issue in this country, and the biggest problem with it is we never discuss race until something bad happens. We never have meaningful dialogue over a cold beer when things are going good. But what happens is everybody, when something bad happens, everybody has a tribe mentality. Everybody want to protect their own tribe, whether they're right or wrong.
What do you mean when they're right or wrong?
We all got bad characters in our group. We all got bad characters. So my grandmother taught me, you judge everybody on their own individual merits. You don't care what any other jackass has to say.
That is the most succinct soundbite I've heard on the Ferguson shooting.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think really there should be anything in what he just said that anyone could really disagree with or take issue with.
I'm just trying to think. Well, he does. Do you know where Charles Barkley grew up?
In the South. I don't know exactly where, but I know he...
Did he have a rich family?
That I don't know. I know he went to Auburn, so maybe he's from Alabama.
I can just see somebody bringing up, well, man, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He grew up in a white neighborhood, or he has no idea what it's really like to live in a true urban community.
He grew up in the South. He knows what it's like to be black.
Well, I'm sure he knows what it's like to be black anywhere he goes.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as racial tensions and, you know, and how you can be treated differently simply on the color of your skin.
What's cut four?
Cut four is when it was brought up, there's this people saying, well, cops are out there just shooting black people.
The notion that white cops are out there just killing black people, that's ridiculous. It's just flat out ridiculous. And I challenge any black person to... try to make that point. This notion that cops are actually awesome. You know, they're the only thing in the ghetto from between this place being the Wild Wild West. So this notion that cops are out there just killing black men, it's ridiculous.
He also took a lot of heat when he came out after the Ferguson grand jury and said, I agree with them. Based on everything I saw, sounds like they got it right. Michael Brown was the aggressor. He also got a lot of heat when he agreed with the verdict with the Trayvon Martin Zimmerman ruling. I mean, anything you can imagine being called, he was called it by those in the black community.
Just saw the clip.
The other one is Barkley on people need to take some responsibility.
The only time you interact with the cops is when things are going wrong. That's the only time we ever interact with the cops. But first of all, we as black people, we got a lot of crooks. We can't just wait until something like this happened. We have to look ourselves in the mirror. There's a reason they racially profile us at times. Sometimes it's wrong, but sometimes it's right. So to act and sit there and act like we hold no responsibility for some of this stuff, it's disingenuous.
I'm a Barkley fan now. And he's not taking a position either way.
He actually, in part of the interview, he said, he's like, look, there are these, you know, the scumbags, the looters that are taking advantage of the situation. That was part of what he was saying as far as, like, there's bad in every group, no matter what it is. And he's like, you have these idiots that are taking advantage of the situation, and they have completely lost sight of the fact that something terrible happened. Someone lost their child. no matter the circumstances of it, that everyone agrees on. But everyone just kind of just shoos that away and decides that, okay, now I need to use it to somehow propel my beliefs or something else, some other political agenda.
We have to tear a bunch of stuff up, set things on fire, just so they know that we're serious. Did they even have a candlelight vigil for the brown kid?
I don't know, unless it was the liquor store that was set on fire.
Oh, I know they had plenty of fires.
Yeah. On an actual candlelight vigil, I don't know.
I know they had lots of memorials. That was a big deal, just memorials with candles set up. And when one of them caught fire, probably because there were candles around it, people freaked out.
Are they still still issues in Ferguson as far as cops out at night? And
I don't think I've heard anything from the last night or two, the last few nights. I think over the weekend with the holiday, I think it kind of calmed down some. But I'm sure that they're, as far as any sort of rioting or looting or tear gas type stuff, no.
Okay. Because I didn't really see anything on CNN this morning, so nothing.
The newest thing on it lately is that the officer, Darren Wilson, is being guarded round the clock and by off-duty police officers and also being moved around to different places because you don't want to stay in one spot for too long. And then the other thing I heard was Michael Brown's stepdad was – there was video that came out of him, I think, a night or two after – the grand jury decision came out, and he's standing on top of a car saying, burn this bitch down, burn this mother effer to the ground.
That was the night of the decision. That was before anything was announced.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I remember reading that because the police department, they were looking into possibly arresting him for
inciting
a riot.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
or inciting to riot.
Yeah. And then today, I think they pretty much – he apologized and said, I was wrong, my bad type of thing. So I don't think police are actually going to pursue that. But at this point, everything that's left is the aftermath. It's what do we do from here? How do we heal? How do we try to create trust again between minorities and police?
Well, then you do what Barkley said. Now that they've gotten past this, or for the most part, hopefully the worst is over, now you sit down and you talk. It's like, I know this isn't the best example, but growing up in Dallas-Fort Worth, I was always afraid of John Wiley Price. Then you had him on the, we had him on the show, and it's just the conversation. I don't know that we really talked about that much political. I just said, you know, you scare people. Oh, yeah, I do.
And it was actually, and what made that, you know, great was the fact that you put it out there. As opposed to hiding it. You decided, you know what? Let's just put it on the table. You scare me. And he said, I know. And then you guys immediately got past it and got along and had a great afternoon. And next thing you know, we have a photo with him with wiper blade nunchucks. And he's hugging everybody out when he leaves.
People were walking around in the building. Why is John Wiley Price up here? Mm-hmm. He's in whose studio?
Oh, they've done it.
Oh, hell.
Mm-hmm. Their day finally came.
Man, I don't want to go in there and clean that up.
The cleaning crew. Mm-mm, I'm not going in there.
Too many dead white people. Okay. You want to start news?
If you like.
Okay. All right, 3:49. Dan O'Malley's here with news.
Thank you, Russ. Today is Wednesday, December 3rd, 2014. Birthdays today. Jenna Dewan Tatum is 24. She's Channing Tatum's wife. Amanda Seyfried is 29. Anna Chlumsky is 34. She was in the movie My Girl with Macaulay Culkin. Now she co-stars in HBO's Veep. Sean Parker, who founded Napster and is invested heavily in Spotify, turns 35. Actor Brendan Fraser, 46. Katerina Witt, the German figure skater, is 49. Actress Julianne Moore, 54. Also 54 is Neil Young's hot young girlfriend, Daryl Hannah. And Ozzy Osbourne turns 66 today. Fort Worth police say an officer shot a man who charged at him with a baseball bat while responding to a robbery call at the gas pipe in West Fort Worth. A clerk escaped from the store in the 6,000 block of Camp Bowie during the robbery and ran to a nearby business to call police around 11:50 Tuesday night. Two officers arrived minutes later and saw a woman run out the front door. As police questioned the woman and determined she was a clerk, the suspect came out of the store. The officers ordered the man to drop the baseball bat he was carrying and lie on the ground. Instead of complying, police say the man charged at the officers, and that was when they ended his ass. Police say one officer shot the suspect in the chest. Paramedics took the man to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead. That was after they tried reviving him with CPR. Police are investigating the shooting, which they say was captured on dash cams and body-worn cameras.
And when did this happen? Today?
Tuesday night.
So the video's probably not out yet.
No. Still part of the investigation that they'll take their time to make sure they get everything correct, but it's one of those things that you could probably watch it one time through and go, yep, he's good. Or one time through and go, he's not good. Everything that sounds like this in the story of the report, I think that's going to be an easy call.
All right, I will acquiesce.
Okay.
This is one of the few times where I will say the batter was on the offense.
That's morbid, but I'll take it. The batter is always on offense. And that's another.
Not in baseball.
That's more proof of it.
No, that's not proof of it.
Yes, it
is. I just said in this situation, yeah, the batter was on the offense. In baseball, he's on the defense because you got a guy chunking stuff at him.
But that's not the case.
And he's standing. Where is he standing?
Next to someone else's home.
He's at home plate.
Not his home.
How long has he been standing there?
Not as long as the catcher.
Well, the catcher's not really on home plate.
He's protecting home plate.
No, the guy with the bat is. We can go through this again if you want. If I throw stuff at you, you tell me if you feel like I'm being offensive or defensive.
But the thing is, you as the pitcher are not throwing things at me, the batter.
How many times you see a batter get hit?
Not as often as...
How many times a batter got to get hit before you realize he's defense?
On occasion, one gets away. On occasion, the batter will actually step into one of those balls. But to me, this is proof that the batter is on offense. Otherwise, you know what?
You don't take a crime and say this is proof that a batter is offense. I just said in this instance, I will acquiesce and say the batter is offense. In baseball, he's defense. You got people throwing crap at you, and you try to keep getting hit.
Okay, but if that means he's defense, then that means the pitcher is offense.
He is. He's throwing stuff at him.
Okay, well, the guy didn't run out of the gas pipe with a catcher's mitt saying, I'm going to get you.
No. In fact, it's even worse. The guy with the bat is just standing there minding his own business. All of a sudden, this guy starts chunking crap at him.
Yeah, and if he were to batter were to move out of the way, the guy behind him would get hit.
No.
Well, that's convinced me.
We have gone through this for years. There is no convincing you. But that doesn't mean I'm going to stop trying. The pitcher and the catcher are just enjoying their day with seven of their other buddies, all with gloves, all defensive tools.
Why couldn't they start out with, if they didn't really want that guy there with the bat, why couldn't that catcher guy just go, hey, this ain't your house. Move along.
Because the batter's got a weapon, he's probably afraid.
He's afraid because... Oh, okay. I know which side you're saying. But why do they have to start with violence and throwing balls at him?
He's not throwing balls at him. The pitcher is throwing balls to his catcher. And the guy who comes out of this little dugout in a menacing fashion, spitting all over the place, adjusting his crotch, staring down the pitcher, grabs his bat and holds it up in a menacing fashion.
So there's none of that area that the batter actually owns.
There's the batter's box.
That's what I'm talking about. My box, my home. Home inside my box.
Then why don't you stay there? Why do you go running around the field like a maniac?
I got tired of him throwing crap at me. Finally, I knocked one of them away and had a chance to run.
Yeah, but when
one of his posses standing there at first base wanting to knock me down.
Well, and then the other guys will throw balls at you going around the bases.
And they're still trying to attack me, even though I've dropped my weapon.
You said, go flip me off as if you won this.
Yeah, and that guy behind the batter is giving signals to the pitcher guy out there on how to attack him.
Gang signals.
That's not gang signals.
That's exactly what it is.
It's not gang signs. He's not flashing Crips and Bloods between his legs. He's saying 1, 2, 3, 4, wiggle finger fist.
And do you know what those mean?
Yes.
What does each one, what does one mean?
Fastball.
Two.
Usually a curveball.
Three.
Change up.
Okay. Sounds like gang signals to me.
It's not gang signals.
You got a guy defending his house while you got gang members all around you.
Different team. Well, never mind. I'm not going to say that.
And this guy that with the bat, how many of his homies are out on the field at that point?
None. They're waiting for their next turn in the dugout
or on
deck.
Everybody on the other gang that's after this guy.
Well, that's not their fault that the idiot decided to come out on the field with him and that was it. And one other guy in the on deck circle.
Okay, would they let three or four batters come out at once?
No, that's not part of the rules of the
game.
Well,
then you don't call him an idiot because he came out by himself.
Well, he should have thought about that when they sat down to write the rules.
The rule, he just said, I'm going to go stand here.
And interrupt these two nice gentlemen's game of catch.
I still don't get why you couldn't start off with a pleasant conversation.
I don't think that works for either side.
The whole idea is communication. I got a break.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
402. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Let's get started off in Dallas. Northbound 45, right at I-30. Got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic there is backed up back to Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. And in Forest Hill, eastbound I-20, right near Mansfield Highway, that's business 287. Road construction there still has those two right lanes shut down. It's supposed to be there until around 5 p.m. Right now has traffic backed up back from Campus Drive. Listen to Chris Ryan at 12:25 in the afternoon for a shot to win an advance, or I guess a copy of AC/DC's Rock or Bust. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Yahoo Live. A chance for some rain tonight, a low of 54. Tomorrow, more rain and a high of 67. Right now, 59 and 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Yes, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I got a couple things that might help this batter being on offense or defense discussion. The first thing is, if the batter's on defense, why is he running all over everybody's yard stealing things?
Who said he's stealing anything? What does he steal?
He steals bases.
He don't pick them up and take them. Just because he touched it don't mean he stole it.
That's
I'm in Best Buy all the time. I touch stuff. It doesn't mean I stole it.
Right. Well, why does the catcher have to defend the home plate?
The batter's defending home plate. That's what I said. He's on defense because you got a guy throwing stuff at him.
Defend the home plate after your buddy. The guy runs around stealing everything.
He hasn't picked anything up. He's just running. Yeah. Just because somebody's running doesn't mean they stole something. That's racial profiling. I'm not going to tolerate it. Just come out for a nice day. Got on my running clothes, my baseball cap, bat. A-hole starts throwing stuff at me.
And cleats. Wearing dangerous shoes.
Everybody else got cleats.
Ah.
Once again, you've convinced me.
I know it. Take that.
And how is the catcher still, how is he defending once the batter leaves?
Yeah, what does he do?
He's defending home plate.
No, he's waiting to catch it, guy, when he makes the round.
Yeah, because
I'm going to sit here and wait on him.
Yeah, he's basically trying to say, hey, look, you came in and interrupted our game, and you come around here, you're going to pay the price.
That's chicken shit. That's two against one. And you already know I didn't drop my bat.
You're the one that...
One of you guys still got a ball.
Yeah, but you showed up, had a bat, and we had a ball, and somehow you decided to drop your bat. That's your fault.
Did I start hitting anybody with my bat?
No, but you had it.
So what? Just because I have a bat? You can open carry a bat.
But just because the
I just
had a ball?
Hand out brochures at streetlights.
That makes me really mad.
I'll tell you who gets pissed off by these arguments.
Hmm. Alfie? Alfie, why do you get twisted about it?
Because I have to deal with every moron calling in thinking that they're going to set Russ straight.
Like I really think the batter is defense.
Yeah, but the thing is that you're quite convincing. And Alfie, having been where you are, when this conversation and this debate first started, I feel your pain.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Like, look, I've already got a bank full of calls, and I bet every single one of them going to set Russ straight.
Look at him. He's stealing stuff. He hasn't taken anything. Just because he ran across a bag of sand, he doesn't mean he stole it. He just touched it.
Yeah, and everybody out there.
And the rule is he's supposed to touch it because it's his.
It's not his.
If it wasn't his, he wouldn't be allowed to touch it.
Quit flipping me off. If he was defense, then when he crosses home plate, he wouldn't get points for it. If he was defense, that means the pitcher and the catcher are offense.
Points. He gets points for it because he was able to go up against all these other guys and still make it back to his home. And where are you going? I'm going home.
But he doesn't say home.
And nobody says.
He's a squatter.
Are you going to their home? No. They're saying go home where it's safe. No, you got this guy with all this armory on waiting on you to come back home.
Yeah, so he's prepared.
Yeah, and everybody else on the field is throwing the ball your way, at you.
Trying to get the way, block you?
Yeah, but sometimes you're the one that started all this. You could have stayed in your dugout.
I'm just standing there. What I'm going to do? Stand there while everybody else is playing?
Yes. You were not invited. That's why you show up with a bat.
The sign out front says I was invited. Us against them. So I just go stand there. I'm thinking, well, I don't know what's supposed to happen. I just got my bat. In case somebody wants to start some shit.
If you score points, you are offense.
I scored points because I was able to make it through all those gang members trying to keep me from getting home.
If your intention is to score points, you are on offense.
I don't know what my intent was. I just thought it was a bonus. Look at you. You were able to make it to your car. Which one, Alfie?
Line 3.
Yes, Justin?
Yes, Russ. In sports, can no player on defense score points? Only on offense can you score points.
Well, you'll need to explain that to the baseball league.
No. They explain it to you.
I have to. I'm just saying, yeah. If you took everything out, if somebody showed you for the first time this scenario, everything that's going on, you're going to go, okay, who's on offense and who's on defense? And you're going to go, the guy with the bat is on defense because the guy with the ball is throwing stuff at him.
Yeah,
end of story. You're too stupid to understand. Tell me I can't talk about the sports. If you brought anybody that had no idea what the game was and just went, all right, watch this, then I'm going to ask you a couple of questions afterwards.
Okay. They would probably say, since that team scored points, they're on offense.
They don't know anything about what's going on. They don't know if it's a game or anything. You just look at watch this scenario and tell me, answer these questions afterwards.
Okay.
You're going to go, that man right there with the bat, he didn't do nothing. He didn't hit nobody. He didn't throw that bat at nobody. He could have turned around and hit that guy, that squatted down guy in the head a couple of times.
Yeah, he could have.
But he didn't.
He was right there. Perfect opportunity.
Even though he's surrounded.
Even when you look at it from that most basic point of view, you would still recognize, hey, these two guys are playing catch, and this guy shows up with a weapon to take their toy and swat it away from them.
In your mind, it's a weapon.
Well, he, or this tool to swat it away from them.
Okay.
And their friends.
The guy walking out, maybe he wasn't going to take a bat when he walked out. Then he saw these guys with these big spheres throwing them. Consider that a weapon. That's why he took something to defend himself.
And they're all staring at him. I'm going to get you.
And forced to stand in the batter's box. Throwing the ball into the strike zone.
Yes.
Meaning he's trying to hit that guy. Trying to strike him with the ball.
No, the strike zone is, no. The strike zone is the batter trying to strike the ball.
Dude.
Don't dude me.
Alfie's right. All the lines are lit.
Mm-hmm. And he is in no hurry because he knows.
I'm not acquiescing.
I know you're not. We've been arguing about this for, like everything else, probably 10 years.
I mean, even though it's a bit, I'm not going to acquiesce because.
Because you like your argument. That's why.
I don't want the people on the phone to give up. I'm going to straighten him out. This is my time in the sun.
Yeah.
This is the one time I know something more than he does. He has already said he has no idea about sports. I don't need to know about sports. I just know when somebody's being attacked, somebody's defending themselves.
And how nice of the pitcher allowing the guy to walk once you hit him. So if you hit the guy with a bat, he gets to walk, right? Leisurely walk to base. Isn't that right?
If he gets hit, he's hit by a pitch and he goes to first base.
Mm-hmm. So he's been penalized for hitting the man.
Yes. Which goes to show that he's not on offense.
Means he's on offense.
No.
You hit the guy, and you're not supposed to.
But if the idea, if you're saying is the pitcher is on offense, and the idea is him throwing things at the batter, and he hits the batter, then he should be rewarded for it.
If the guy came out with a bat and walked out to the mound and just smacked the pitcher in the head with the bat, then I would say, yeah, the batter is offense.
He looks like he's ready for it. I could take it.
Stand out there, that stupid stance, ready to throw stuff at me. I'll go out there with that bat. We'll finish it here. See who wins. Oh, look at you. You brought a baseball to a bat fight. I'm not even looking at the call screen.
Oh, come on.
I got good and bad news today from Kelly Kibler.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you decide here.
I'm trying to decide. Bad news is Bob Pittman, the chief executive officer for iHeartMedia and Clear Channel, listens to the show.
Shut up. No, he doesn't.
It's not bad enough. Steve McCree.
The CFO?
Yeah, listens.
No.
Bob Pittman, the guy running this entire Borg operation, listens.
I don't want to go down here.
That's the bad.
No, I don't. Quit talking to me. I'm not here. There is no Dan.
The only Zool. That's my line.
I'm stealing it.
Why he gotta listen?
I don't know why these nosy.
We have what is our email signature say now? 245 million iHeartMedia listeners, subscribers, watchers.
I kept the same signature that I've had. I don't know how to change it. Mine just says Clear Channel, 245 million. Resistance is futile.
Right. Yeah. So all those listeners, and then what? 800 radio stations. Why do you got to listen to this one?
Is that all we own?
I think at one point it was over 1,000.
But you're right.
I think they pared it down.
Let's just say it's 800.
Right.
Probably 7-8 shows, including weekends, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the shows he could listen to. Why they got to focus on us?
How did this come up? And what did Kibler say?
She said, hey, just to let you know, not only does Steve McCree, the CFO, listen,
mm-hmm.
Bob Pittman, the chief executive officer, listens. I sent back. And one day I'd mentioned I was proud of the fact that iHeart, and it's been a big push, that they have the Show Your Stripes campaign.
Right.
Hire smart, hire vets.
Yeah, we love that.
Pittman heard me say that.
Heard you say that live? Wow. Yes.
So he wants to cut a line of promoting our foundation.
That's cool.
That's the good news, right?
Yes.
Just making sure.
Of all the things he's got going on, I was just stunned that he offered to do that.
At least in, well, actually, my time with the show, that's the first time I've heard a CEO offer to do that.
Mm-hmm. CEO, CFO.
Either one. Yeah. Anyone on the, no, huh? That's.
It's not like I asked him.
No. That's really, that's, that makes me proud. And grateful.
You can stand behind our listeners' foundation.
No, I'm grateful that he'd be willing to do it. I'm thankful for it. It's very kind of him. You're right. He's a very busy man.
Why don't you see if you can figure out a way to actually get your tongue through the mic into his ass right now?
You said he was busy before I did. You were the one that teared up.
I wasn't kissing his ass. I just thought it was a stand-up thing to do. A man that's in charge of one of the largest broadcast companies in the world.
Right.
First of all, he's got to pick our show to listen to.
Which I hate.
I don't get.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to stop.
Yeah. We're going to have to talk to engineering and have some sort of blackout in the greater New York area.
There's got to be a way to stop this. Stop this.
I'm sure.
Well, you're not because you can't say it.
I bet. He's got a company-owned phone, which means we have this, you know, the IP numbers and all that. We can block it from iHeart. You cannot listen to this show.
The guy in charge of everything.
Oh, I can't listen to Russ Martin. Sorry, can't help you.
And she's got to send it to me in two emails. Hey, not only does the CFO listen, the chief executive officer and president of iHeart Radio listens.
What the hell? Is the board of directors just sitting around having listening parties?
I don't know what they do. Short of cutbacks and firing people, they can't have that much more to do.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Bob.
That's okay. I think he knows.
And I don't think I went on and on about it. I just said all the things that all radio stations do. That's one of the proudest things I own for Clear Channel, iHeart, is they don't just let vets come back and forget about them.
Right.
These men and women are highly trained. Don't just look at them and say, well, you know, they're used up. They served our country. They came back handicapped. Even if nothing happened to them, they still had this stress that they're going to have to deal with afterwards.
And I've always wondered why it is that some companies would turn their back on vets, other than my first thought is always political in some way, whether it was, you know, a soldier went to Vietnam or a Marine went to Iraq, and you as a business owner or a company disagree with that particular war or fight, and so you take it out on them. That's the only thing I can think of. Outside of that, what else would it be? Would it be that you think that, well, what good is a tank mechanic at whatever job that they might apply for? I mean, I just don't understand the mentality. Because to me, it's one of those things that even when I was a kid, I'd see commercials for, you know, something about, you know, hiring vets and taking care of vets. It would always seem like something that you just should do. It just seemed like if I owned a business and a veteran applied, I would actually put the veteran towards the top of the list. And the other applicants would then have to find a way to chip away at his or her lead.
And who's going to be the best at that job? A vet. Because they know about working under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, go clean that aisle. And in his mind, there's going to be gunfire in that aisle, and he's going to clean it pretty fast to get out.
Yeah.
Put him on a pit crew. You know they've had to change tires in combat situations?
Mm-hmm.
NASCAR.
Yeah.
Take one vet change all four tires and be gone even before the car stops.
I'm used to changing tires of jets while they're hovering.
Take a former Marine and probably run alongside the car and change the tires while it's on the track. But you're right. It's, I don't want to belabor the point, but it's just the right thing to do.
Right. And I don't know if you've recognized all of them, but we've actually worked with a fair number of vets. And it's not like they're running around touting it. If you happen to hear that they serve, you talk to them about it, they're like, oh, yeah, I did. Well, tell me about it. No, you don't have to. No, I'm curious. I don't really. They don't brag about it.
Yeah, and just to say it was my duty.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody's duty. Luckily, there are enough of you guys with courage to go and do it. That way pussies like me can sit at home and thank you. So, that's the Bob Pittman story.
That's very cool. Did you say how often he listens?
I don't know. I didn't care. I didn't like the way she addressed it.
Fair enough.
I guess she thought I was going to be all excited. Hey, not only the CFO, the CEO. Well, who else is left? Jesus? Now I don't want to do the Christmas special.
Well, you have to. You know, if the CEO likes listening to the show, he's looking forward to that Christmas special. And he's probably listened to the Halloween one.
All right.
Which, by the way, Alfie finished it today.
The Halloween?
The Christmas special.
Oh. How many pages is it?
It is 22 pages.
Okay. So let's have it done. You take about a page from it. So. Yeah, we don't know how long it is.
We have an idea.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do. It's like
thought we had an idea with a Halloween special. Not a clue.
Well,
it averages about 1 minute per page. It's supposed to.
Yes.
But with all the giggling and everything else, and we're obviously not going to do this one live. There are too many sound effects, and I'm out of hands.
Yeah.
I'm not cutting anything out. Somebody blows a line, it's staying in. That's the way real life rolls.
That is true.
You think the three wise men didn't get in a fight or start giggling at stuff as they're traveling across the desert on camels?
Especially when you find out who the three wise men are. There are some surprises.
I think we've already said before Luke Bryan is one of the three wise men.
Just leave it at that. You don't even have to say it again. Just say, you know what? You will be surprised at some of the casting. We took some license.
From everybody.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we took some license with some stuff, and then we just outright stole other things from other.
Well, there didn't seem to be one clear example of the actual birth of Christ. It's kind of this skeleton of a story, and you kind of fill it in on your own.
Right. But that's where we took some license and stole other material.
Alfie, are these all batter people?
Except for line two. He is a vet calling about the Show Your Stripes thing.
Yeah, Steven.
Yeah. What's going on? As a veteran, got out of the Army, couldn't find a job for about 3 years. Part of the reason may be that veterans just don't know how to articulate their skills on a civilian resume. Like, I was an infantryman. The infantryman goes up and shoots the bad guy in the face. That doesn't translate well in the civilian world.
Then I make you in charge of security.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, but at least put you in charge of security of the White House front yard.
Steven, what kind of jobs are you looking for?
Well, I'd gone to school for a couple of years. I'm trying to do nursing, but I hate school. So I'm doing a plumber now.
What are you laughing at, Russ?
I'm just wondering how many job interviews you went on. And they said, what is your skill? I shoot people in the face with mortars. Did you learn anything else? Nope. I was pretty good at what I did.
Well, on occasion, when I didn't shoot them in the face, I would just hand-to-hand rip off the face.
Would you like a few? I have some in this bag. All right. Thank you, boss, for calling.
Thank you.
I have here my face necklace. Last worn by Lady Gaga. That's pretty solid.
I shoot people in the face.
You're right. Maybe one of the things that they should
You
teach.
Realize you've applied at Chick-fil-A.
Well, I can shoot chickens in the face.
All right, we'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
All right, here we go. Damn it. Give me a second. Let's see what I want to play. It's when you like, Chloe.
You haven't played Simon Simon in a while, have you?
No. Give me a second.
Got it.
436, another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Whole lot going on. Here's the worst of it. We're starting off in Fort Worth, westbound I-20, just before McCartan. Got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back to 35W. Also in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, right at Spur 280. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the left lane. Traffic goes backed up back from Long Avenue. Let's move into Forest Hill, eastbound I-20, right near Business 287. Road construction still has those two right lanes shut down. Should be there for about another half hour. Traffic's jacked up back to Campus Drive. In Grand Prairie, westbound 20 at Great Southwest Park, we got a stalled truck blocking the left lane. Your backup's back to the Beltline. And finally, in Dallas, northbound 75 right at Coit, got an accident blocking the left lane. Your backup there is back from Lover's Lane. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Supercuts. Tonight, rain and a low of 54. Tomorrow, some more rain possible with a high of 67. Right now, temperature 59 degrees. A 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Hand me the bottle, please. Mayor Rawlings is going to call at 5. I'd like to be toasted. No reason why this should be easy on him.
What do you mean easy on him?
He's planning on running again for mayor, Dallas. Right.
Yeah.
Just get the job. I don't even. Alfie, do you know, is anybody running against him?
I don't think anyone has announced it yet. But I guarantee there'll be somebody.
Maybe I will.
Yeah.
You don't even live in Dallas.
Yeah.
That's a prerequisite.
I don't think he lived in Dallas before he ran for mayor.
I think he did.
I think he got something like 6 months or something like that.
No. That means you'd have to move now.
I can get an apartment. Cheap one.
Mm-hmm.
In Oak Cliff, to show I support the community. Fight that.
Yeah, that'd be really good. What happens when Brett Shipp shows up to see you, to knock on your door to say hi?
Well, I have somebody there to answer the door. He's unavailable at this moment.
Is he even here? Mr. Martin, are you home?
I don't know. Who's he? Is he cute? Is he clean? Does he look clean?
Let Big Stacy live in the apartment.
I can't afford an apartment that big. So 5 o'clock?
Yes, he's calling around 5.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll be late. If he's late, he ain't getting a job. He's called late before.
Why is he having to go through you to become elected mayor of Dallas?
If he's running unopposed, this isn't just going to be, I'm going to skate back into this gig. Somebody may come up and oppose him.
It's very possible. There's still some time left where someone could decide that, hey, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then might be waiting until after the holidays to announce it. I don't know.
You live in Dallas, Dan.
Yeah. Wait. Whoa. Uh-uh.
I think the mayor pays pretty good now. They just gave themselves a raise.
Well, that's that's nice. I'll have time to be mayor.
I'll give you time off. I want to see you run a city council meeting.
It's a 4-year term.
Is it really?
Yes.
I didn't realize he'd been in office that long.
Yeah.
I bet the Trinity River is raised at least 3 feet from all the bodies he's thrown in there.
I could not do a city council meeting.
Yeah, you could. You just wouldn't be able to keep the job.
Enough! First order of business. We are changing the rules regarding public comment at the end of every meeting. You will get 10 seconds to hook us. After that, we will decide whether or not to extend your time.
Yeah, what do they get? Is it like 3 to 6 minutes?
Yeah, it's something like that.
And I don't even think it has to be on the agenda of what's going on. It's like everybody gets a free-for-all.
Yep.
Which is fair.
It is.
But don't just get up there and ramble. Have a question and possibly step up with a few solutions that you'd like to see.
As opposed to just using it as a 5-minute complaining podium.
And not once out of all the mayors that I've supported that I've gotten elected.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody give me a street?
Maybe it's a more difficult process than we think.
No, it's not.
No.
There are new streets going up all the time.
No, you remember how big of a controversy it was when they were trying to find or rename a street for Cesar Chavez, and it's like, okay, we'll put it here. No, we don't want that street. We want a different street.
Well, I understand that. You want a good street. I want a street in the part of town that I can go to safely. I can't think of one right now.
What if?
I want Pearl Street renamed.
Pearl?
Mm-hmm.
In downtown Dallas?
That's a one.
That's a lot of signs to change. They're not going to change Pearl.
Oh, I haven't done enough for the city of Dallas? I'll bet you if I put them to task, Mayor Price in Fort Worth would give me a street before Rawlings.
Yeah.
If I said start right now, she'd have it up, signs up by the end of the weekend. There'd probably have to be some pelvic action going, but that's all right if I get a street.
I do like the idea of pitting Fort Worth against Dallas, because that's always a fun rivalry. We have fun with that. I do also like how you completely just shot right over Mid-Cities.
Oh, Mayor Cluck's not going to give me anything.
Okay, so you know Mayor Cluck in Arlington probably isn't going to name anything after you, at least not a street. There are other towns, maybe Mansfield, Grapevine. No, Grapevine ain't going to do that.
I grew up in Dallas. I was born in Dallas.
All right, well, then Dallas.
I've lived in Fort Worth. Not Fort Worth. South Lake. I've lived in Tarrant County.
Yeah, South Lake's probably not going to help you out.
If they want to get off my ass list, they will.
You certainly know Euless isn't going to name anything after you.
I didn't lose their squad car.
I know, but you're the one that keeps bringing it up 6 months later.
They got it back.
They got it back almost immediately, but that's the part we casually gloss over.
You're the one that brought it up today.
Well, all I was saying of the different possibilities. It does make sense that Dallas would be the one because that's where you were born.
My money is on Mayor Price.
I'd have to agree.
I like them both, but I think I got a better end with Betsy.
Well, I mean, when she came in, she brought you a bottle of whiskey and a proclamation for your own day in the city of Fort Worth.
Yeah. Anytime we've had Mayor Rawlings in the studio, he just brought in a threat to send some boys after me.
and a stern-looking security detail in the hallway.
Yeah. Did Mayor Price even have a detail?
She did, but they were, I don't want to say more relaxed because they weren't, but they were a little less intimidating.
Oh.
It's just part of that whole relaxed vibe that you get in Fort Worth. Dallas, everything's tense and mean and dirty.
I don't even see why Mayor Rawlings needs a detail. You just look at somebody and go, hey, you want me to send some boys after you?
I know. It's like if something bad was going on, like at, say, a convenience store robbery, he would be the one to walk in the door and say, hey, you want to stop this? Put that down. Go home.
Don't do it again.
Do it again, I'm going to come after you. Me and the boys.
Because if you do it again, you're going to get a fresh one.
But what do you mean a fresh one? I haven't gotten the first one.
Just trust me. You'll get them both, I promise. A man of my word. You like to go swimming?
No, I hate swimming.
Okay. Well, it won't matter because you'll be dead when you hit the Trinity.
That would be awesome if part of his campaign promises, he's like, or the things that he's achieved since taking office. The levels in the Trinity have never been higher. No drought in Dallas. Water full.
Well, we haven't really had that much rain. I didn't say it was full of water.
Mm-mm.
I just said I raised the levels.
That's right. It looks like a river on the rocks.
Well, how did you raise the level? With that thing.
Followed up by the other thing.
All right. Before something, go ahead.
All right. The University of Texas at Austin is missing about 100 brains. That's about half of the specimens, the university.
Really?
Yeah.
You would think it would have been A&M.
Hey-o.
That's too easy.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever wanted a bicorn in her more now than, yeah. That's about half of the specimens the university had in a collection of brains preserved in jars of formaldehyde. One of the missing brains preserved was believed to have belonged to the clock tower sniper Charles Whitman. The co-curator of the collection, Professor Lawrence Carmack, he told the Austin American-Statesman that undergraduates and others may have been swiping the brains for years for living rooms or Halloween pranks. The Austin.
I don't even like seeing fake ones in movies.
Mm.
I don't want to see why were they keeping the one from the guy in the clock tower?
That was.
You think they would have cut that up just to see what was wrong with it?
Well, they may have, but they were keeping it there, you know, for research purposes. Supposedly, the Austin State Hospital had transferred the jars of brains to the university about 28 years ago. Now there is an update to this story. School officials say dozens of human brains reported missing from a research lab were actually destroyed about 12 years ago because they were in poor condition.
Obviously, things can only sit in formaldehyde for so long.
Yes. I don't know what to say about that. The university released a statement Wednesday saying environmental workers disposed of between 40 and 60 jars, some of which contained multiple brains, after faculty members said the specimens were not suitable for research or teaching purposes. The university said it came to a conclusion after a preliminary investigation. It also says there's no evidence to support claims that one of the missing preserved brains belonged to Charles Whitman.
Who was that? The sniper?
Yeah, the clock tower sniper.
Oh.
He's the one that fatally shot 16 people from the university's clock tower in 1966. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. It was a joke. I'm out.
Okay. When video of Ray Rice knocking out his future wife, Janae, in an elevator hit the internet, they held a press conference in which she apologized for her part in it. But Ray did not apologize to her. He tried to set that right on the Today Show yesterday. Cut number 8 was him on the Today Show talking about the elevator punch, and he finally gives his wife the public apology for it.
She apologized in public to him in front of the media.
What she did in the media in the press conference was she said, I wanted to apologize for the role I played or the part I played.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, but I just told you the exact quote so you didn't confuse it.
But he didn't reply at that moment.
They weren't talking to each other.
Oh.
They were in a press conference.
Okay. Would you say what?
That cut 8?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was a slow news with Brian Williams.
I say that's a different.
The reason why that press conference was the way it was because we were still under legal situations. So there wasn't much that could be said. But I'll be honest, we were nervous. I was nervous. And that was the first time we were available to speak. And I made a horrendous mistake not apologizing to my wife. We was going in, we were giving what to speak about. It wasn't truly coming from us, if you can understand. But I, you know, made that clear my last time I was able to speak, that my wife is an angel. She can do no wrong. I take full responsibility for my actions. The big deal is for me to always protect her. And that's why I say I take full responsibility. She can do no wrong. This is something, you know, as a man, you have to own. And, you know, and we're horribly sorry, you know, and I'm horribly sorry for everything that, you know, I have to put my family through. I still got to live every day, go take my daughter to school. She's going to grow up. And the way the internet works now, she's going to Google her father's name. And the first thing that's going to come up, we know it's going to come up.
I understand his attorney saying, don't you say anything at the press conference.
Right.
Because you don't know if she was going to maybe her attorney said, hey, why don't you apologize? That'll get him to apologize. And then we can use that in court.
Mm-hmm.
Although all the reports said that they had reconciled.
Right.
She had forgiven him.
Yes.
What I don't get, first of all, this is none of my business. And smacking a chick, you don't. Because like I've said before, if you lose control at that point, you're not just going to hit her once. Forgot what I was going to say.
None of your business, but...
If his wife forgave him, why is it everybody else is still on him?
Because... people have a funny way of making things their business. And also, by her saying, I love him, I forgive him, they immediately say, battered woman syndrome. She doesn't know what she's saying. She needs to be protected. She's in danger. All that kind of stuff. Which is some of the stuff people said when Mandy, with your situation, recanted her story that she told to Southlake. It's like, oh, it's battered woman syndrome. She's trying to protect him now. That's what they always do. That's what I always read. So you never really know. Is she just afraid? Did you try to make this go away? Or is this true? Or is it not true?
There were things behind this, the scenes that nobody knew about. Her family kept coming over. Her brother kept coming to my shop for automotive work. If I really thought somebody beat my sister up, even slapped my sister, I go and mow. I just wait for him to hit the parking lot and mow him down.
Yeah.
Grandparents, everybody kept showing up. Birthday parties. It was like everybody knew, but nobody really wanted to say anything. Just their presence to me said, they know I didn't hit the bitch.
Right. Well, and then in this situation, a lot of people were saying, oh, well, she doesn't know what she's doing. She's afraid. She needs to be saved. Or also that, well, she's staying with him and she must be a gold digger. And I was one of the few times it came in handy watching that Access Hollywood crap that Chloe and Alfie watched during the day, is they were talking for the Today Show, and her family was saying, she don't need the money. Dad ran a successful or still runs a successful business. She don't need the money. That's not why they're staying together. And her dad had came out and said, Ray made a mistake. He's paying for it. He's paying for it dearly.
So even the family's forgiven him as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That still doesn't justify what happened.
It doesn't.
If the family forgives him and they're going to give him a second chance, shouldn't society at least step back and say, all right, let's see what happens?
No, because society...
Because they know him better than we do.
Doesn't matter, because we as society like to be outraged. I'll give you an example, and this is one that'll touch home with us. Michael Vick, when he went through all his legal stuff with the gambling and the dog killing, when he came back and was released from prison, a lot of people said, hey, he's paid his debt to society. I, however, was not one of those that felt he had paid his debt to society. Partly because it's not like he could then go to one of the dogs and say, hey, do you forgive me? No, he couldn't, because A, they don't talk, and B, he killed them. So
some of the dogs, didn't he kill with his hands?
And a few different ways. I mean, it was all terrible. So So when someone says, hey, Ray Rice paid his debt to society, and I don't think that was enough, I get that person saying that.
I understand it as well.
But there is a difference between a one-punch mistake and a repeated pattern of death. But I'm just saying that is a comparison that you can draw upon to see that I don't care what the court says, I hate you.
You can see somebody snapping because everybody knows how to push everybody's buttons. Your job is to be responsible for your buttons, and if they're pushed, you just stop reacting because after a while, they'll stop mashing that button. Well, yeah, that one doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
She pushed the right button. He reacted wrong and got popped. And
they were both drunk.
So. Well, the drunk thing, I've still never been so drunk where I wanted to hit somebody.
No, but maybe she had never been so drunk. He had never been so drunk. And the two, something collided and it was just all bad. It doesn't excuse it, obviously, but perhaps more likely to do that then as opposed to stone sober.
You just can't. This almost needs to, this, it should be a zero tolerance. You just don't. And the video inside the elevator, that was a full-blown punch. Mm. Now, is he still out of the NFL?
He was reinstated by the league, but no team has brought him in yet to actually play.
Is this the recent guy with all the stories of he went to court and appealed, or are we talking about the guy that whipped his kid with a switch?
You're thinking, I think, of Adrian Peterson.
Okay. Peterson's thing was overturned.
He's the one that had the court decide everything. He was suspended by the NFL league through the end of the year. He's appealing that.
I think that's already come to fruition.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not making light of this. You got too many guys slapping chicks around or people.
Yeah, and these are the two most high-profile ones. There's still a couple other cases that are still looming for the league. You had the guy, the Carolina Panthers guy, who was accused of physically assaulting his girlfriend and threatening her by throwing her on a bed full of guns. And another guy that was accused of domestic violence.
Yeah, it's bad when you can't keep track.
Yeah.
All right, we need a break here?
Yes.
All right, we'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
504. This is KEGO, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas, over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic is brought to you by Yahoo Live. Let's get started off in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, just before Golden Triangle. Got a car fire, bus fire actually blocking the right lane. Traffic's backed up back from Westport Parkway, also in Fort Worth. Westbound I-20 just before McCart. Got an accident blocking the entrance ramp that has traffic backed up back to 35W in Grand Prairie, westbound I-20 at Great Southwest. Got a stalled box truck blocking the left lane. Traffic's backed up back to the Beltline. And in McKinney, northbound 75, right at Virginia. Got an accident blocking traffic there right now. Your backup is back from Ridgeview Drive. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Tonight, rain. A low of 54. Tomorrow, some more rain and a high around 67. Right now, it's 59 degrees and 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
All right, he's a minute 20 late.
Is he late, or is Alfie Layton calling him?
I think he calls us. He don't give us numbers.
Oh, Alfie's nodding his head.
What?
The mayor calls us.
Yeah, he won't give us numbers. He won't.
It's probably smart.
It's one of those.
Those things?
Yeah, one of those things. Mm. Is that him?
That is him.
Okay.
I come. Don't mess with me.
It's only because of that that makes you my favorite mayor.
Absolutely.
I was born in Dallas, so I remember where mayors all the way back to West Wise.
How are you doing, Russ?
Good. What made you decide to run again?
Dallas has been very good to me, Russ. No, we're in a roll. We're in a roll, and it's a pain. I mean, being mayor is a pain, but you know, it's such a great honor, and things are going well, and I felt like a jerk if I, you know, stepped off the treadmill right now. We need to kind of keep the pedal to the metal, and I'm going to try to put as many metaphors in this answer as I can.
Do you think that Dallas is a better city after your latest term?
No question. It may not have anything to do with me, but in the last 4 years, it's a much better city. You know, I mean, Dallas is, we have 48 months of straight economic growth. Our unemployment is low. Our murder rate is down. It's lower than it's ever been since the 1950s. Okay, so I mean, a lot of great things are happening, and I think it's because of a lot of people. I just happen to be mayor right now, but I'm going to take credit for it.
Mm. So, what do you think some of your weaknesses are?
Oh no.
Being tempted to get on a show like this with you.
No.
And end up on YouTube or something for saying something stupid. I'm so tempted to say certain things. That's one of my weaknesses.
But you know, on this show, you can get away with it.
No, yeah, but people record things. People record things. You know?
Well, what are some of the things that you would have liked to have said you haven't said before?
Yeah, right. Let's go there. I'm a bit impatient. I was talking about this morning, and I'm kind of learning to calibrate that. But, you know, there's just a lot to be done here. And politics and bureaucracy, as Washington shows you, is a slow process. And that's not much fun for me. So my really shortcoming is probably let's get it going. Come on, now. What are we going to do next week? You know, I'm not very zen about things at times.
Before you were mayor of the city of Dallas, what were some of the responsibilities of your last job?
am I interviewing to be your engineer or something?
Do you want our endorsement or not? Are you running?
I want to tell you, Russ. I have been a great professional my whole career, okay? And I've worked hard and running Pizza Hut. We sold lots of pizzas, and people liked me, and I'm a good people person.
What years, this is not on the list, what years were you in charge of Pizza Hut?
1997 to the beginning of 2003.
Okay, I've been gone for like 17 years. So.
Oh, yeah, so.
But I did work for the
company. Gone from where?
From Pizza Hut.
Oh, okay. You worked at Pizza Hut? Oh, you told me this once.
Yeah.
You were a very important team member in our system.
This was like 1980, 81.
I'm crushed. You probably did. Well, not 81.
I did make it to shift leader.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. That's a big job. You got the extra 50 cents an hour.
He probably would have killed for an extra 50 cents an hour back in 81.
Probably so, yeah.
Back at the Pizza Hut in Pleasant Grove, I almost got killed for 50 cents.
I believe that.
Are you a Groveite?
Yeah.
All right, baby. It's coming. This has been, watch this. This is the next part of the city, the hot part of the city is Pleasant Grove.
Hot because?
That's going to be a target point for what reason?
I'll tell you, growth. Population growth. Retailers are finding that there's a lot of money down there now. We're kind of cleaning things up. We got our own city council person, Rick Callahan's a good guy, and I'm just feeling a lot of good momentum and mojo in Pleasant Grove.
Well, there's always been good momentum in Pleasant Grove. A lot of trusting people. Plenty of we tote the note car lots. Obviously, they trust you. as far as mayor of City of Dallas, are you willing to relocate?
I will. Yes, but not to Oak Cliff, okay? Because my son has already bought a house there, and I'm kind of helping him redo that. So I it's got to be to another location.
What are going to be your salary requirements?
I'll tell you this. Do you know, you probably didn't even vote.
You just got a raise. What is it, $80,000 now?
No, I don't get it, though. We wrote it, so if I run and get elected, I don't even get the raise. It's the next guy that gets the raise. That's how good of a leader and how magnanimous I am. So I'm not even taking the money.
No, that's how far detached you are from society, as you're that rich. That somebody would turn down $80,000.
Yeah.
No, not the whole 80. I'll still keep my 60. It was a raise from 60 to 80.
Yeah, he's not Bill Gates, only pulling a dollar a year kind of thing.
Yeah. No. You got to have tip money.
Have I already asked you the question, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I hopefully am alive, okay? I'm playing a little bit more golf and not worrying about saying bad things on radio shows.
How is it that you're into golf? Because you probably have the same attention span, patience level that I do.
I'm a bad golfer, that's how. Okay.
So do you just come to terms with it? Why would you want to keep doing something that you're bad at?
That's why they pay you the big bucks. That is a great question. All right. First of all, you can smoke a cigar on the golf course. Okay. Second of all, you can have a gin and tonic and as you go around, you get a little bit of the outdoors and you get to bet and gamble. Okay. So
all the things that are illegal in most cities.
I know, exactly. I'm the mayor. Drinking and driving, smoking, gambling. This is not good. I shouldn't be saying that.
It's like I'm back in freaking Vegas. Well, fully.
Admitting to usually just one of those things would get some people just voted out of office. But no, I like how you go full steam ahead.
I am who I am, as Popeye said.
I like to be outside. I like to drink. I like to drive motorized vehicles. I like to gamble. I like to dump bodies in the Trinity River.
Whatever you do, don't dig so deep in that sand trap.
Yeah, true.
You hit enough times at that club in the sand trap, you're going to hit Vinny. this will be serious. Over the past three and a half years.
I doubt it.
What are you most, you got to pick one thing, most proud of that you've done for the city of Dallas? This is not to blow your own horn, because I don't like talking about my foundation, and that may be a hard question for you.
Yeah, exactly. It is. I mean, just the minute you start to talk about nice things you've done, you seem like a bit of a jerk. But I think what we're doing in Dallas now is we're focusing south of the Trinity for the first time. You know, 60% of our land mass, 15% of our tax base. You can fit the city of Atlanta inside southern Dallas, and everybody forgets about it a lot of the time. And we're focusing there. I keep, and it's growing from a construction standpoint at a faster rate this last year than North Dallas, and we're doing some exciting things there. So that's probably why I ran, and we're making some progress. It's a long haul. I mean, it's a long haul, but the things that are happening in North Oak Cliff and Southeast Dallas, there's some exciting things.
And there's a connotation. Anytime you say Oak Cliff, you just think poverty, rundown neighborhoods. There is the historic Oak Cliff district. There are parts of Oak Cliff that are really nice, and why people tend to just ignore that part of Dallas.
He's lump it all in.
No, I agree. And there are two or three areas that are really, really hot right now from a real estate standpoint. We've got, Dallas needs a good middle class. And that's we got East Dallas that helps our middle class, and we've got North Oak Cliff. And then we've got some great traditions and places in the rest of the town. We got to get Fair Park back on its feet. I mean, it's doing well, but we need to kind of continue to grow there. It's fun. I mean, it's a lot of heavy lifting, but
I have never heard a mayor anywhere, maybe Betsy Price, that ever used the word fun. It's fun being mayor.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's fun being mayor. It's fun doing this. You know, this part of it where we, you know, there's so much upside. There's so much momentum.
It's worth the red tape.
It really is. Wednesdays aren't fun. Wednesdays are city council day. Now, that's I wouldn't call that fun.
You know? Do you find yourself having to take lorazepam or something like that? I just came off the golf course. Let's get this thing started.
I knew where this is going. No, I self-medicate from time to time, but
if I ever ran for mayor, that would be the biggest thing that would turn me off would be, all right, I got to talk to all these other people once a week, and I got to maintain composure and let everybody talk.
It's amazing. It really helps. It grows you in ways that I didn't think I could be grown that way. But you know, they're good folks. I mean, everybody's good folks. It's diversity at its best. I mean, people from all over the city, different points of view. Everybody's trying to do the best they can, but it's wild. I mean, it's a rodeo.
That's probably the best description. Man, I just go in there, and if I can make it 8 seconds, I consider this a win.
That's exactly.
He's going to go home on Wednesday night with a new belt buckle.
Look what I won at the council. At the council meeting. I give you credit for the patience with that, because the upside is, and we were talking about this earlier before you came on, is a lot of it, I don't want to get too deep here, but a lot of it is communication. And when you've got diversified groups, when you've got blacks and whites and Hispanics, and nobody really wants to see the other side, a lot of times just communication. We had John Wiley Price on the show a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
And first of all, it shocked everybody in this building. And we got Commissioner Price in here. And the first thing I told him was, I went, you know, you scare white people. And he went, thank you. And it was just after a conversation of about, 5-10 minutes, and he stayed for a couple of hours. You got a perspective on things and why he did things. And he wasn't just this maniac that was yanking windshield wipers, one thing.
One time.
But
you're exactly right. I mean, just listening to people makes a big, big difference. And it's amazing. White people do not like black people yelling at them. I mean, it's just like, but it's like, we can power through this, okay?
Well, nobody likes anybody yelling at them, especially if the two are going at each other.
I know, but trust me, a white person will like a white person yelling a lot better, okay, than an African-American, okay?
And part of that could be guilt.
Of course, there's a lot of reasons why. And the Ferguson thing and all this stuff. But we can just hold each other's hands. We can get through this. We can communicate, and everything will be better on the other side.
And that's in a perfect world, but not everybody wants to sit down. And I was really glad. I don't know how good of a show it was that day, but I was really glad that Commissioner Price not only agreed to an interview. I don't even know why we asked him up.
Because
there was no agenda. We just, it seemed like somebody to have on. Because we're not a we're not a political show. And it was just a normal conversation. And I felt really good about it afterwards. I was proud of I very seldom say this. I was proud of the show.
That's good for you. That's good for you. And that's the sort of thing that needs to happen more and more. And you do that, and then we'll all start to break down, and then we get to a better place.
There was also, I got a video. I've asked listeners to do this. Not many have, but in light of all the Ferguson things going on, I said, just take your phone, take the camera, walk up to a police officer, and just say, thank you for what you do, and just walk away. And I got a video today. I know which one you're going to talk about. I got a video today from a listener who was, there was a Dallas police officer parked off 635 at Skillman, someplace in that area. And he said, man, I had to sit in my truck for like 5 minutes. And finally I walked out with my phone and I just said, hey, boss, thank you for what you do. And the cop was just stunned, but it was an appreciative stunned. And the conversation lasted 5 seconds. And I hope it stuck with that officer.
Did you see that kid, that police sergeant Portland hugging the black 11-year-old kid?
Yeah.
It was a cool photograph.
It was, and it was, you hate to play the race thing into it, but it was inspiring that it was a white police officer and a black child. And the child was crying, and it was, you know, some people are going to look at it going, well, he just took that opportunity as a publicity stunt. There are pictures you can tell and pictures where you know it's sincere, and that was a sincere moment of somebody being consoled.
Hey, tell those critics to come out to the golf course with me in a sand trap.
Dude, that's up. Mayor Rawlings is also one of the few. I think both Mayor Rawlings and Mayor Price in Fort Worth that I'd like to go hang out with.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's not to get extra.
She will drink you and me under the table, okay? She's a piece of work. I travel with her. I go to bed, and she's out. She just keeps going. She's great.
Well, what time does she finally come in?
We don't share rooms. So I'm not
sorry. I misunderstood. Yeah, we've had her on the show. Actually, she came up for my birthday. I got a proclamation, City of Fort Worth, Russ Martin Day. She brought me a bunch of whiskey, which she drank most of.
Yeah,
she's got a whiskey from Fort Worth. She's a great lady, and she's smart too.
She's not too good on two wheels, but she's all those things you also said.
Let me see if there's anything. I know you got to go. We got a break. Let me see if there's anything else on this list. I've already asked you if you're willing
Ebola.
You want to go back through that? We finally got past it.
Hey, he's...
I'm attacking. Did you live through this?
I think I did.
Good. We all did.
It was... The problem was, it's just like anything else. People start... First of all, you got fake stories on social media. Mm-hmm. You got misinformation that somebody reads one time, and they think, well, it's on the internet. Obviously, it's going to be true. And then it's like, first of all, it spreads. It would spread like AIDS. So there has to be a transmission of bodily fluids. Just hugging somebody, you're not going to get it. But everybody was walking around. They were putting signs up here. Hey, wash your hands before you go back to work.
I know.
It when I worked at Pizza Hut. Why would you think I did it here?
That's why you're not a career Pizza Hut employee.
I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
No, that's it.
Oh, well,
I got to run.
Where are you going?
I got to welcome a new company to downtown Dallas.
Oh, I know it's not Toyota.
Damn.
Active industries. All right, be good.
Thank you, boss.
Bye.
All right, Mayor Rawlings, mayor of the city of Dallas.
Ebola killer.
Also couldn't hang on to Toyota.
Well, you win some, you lose some. Eventually, they'll realize they made a great mistake in going to Collin County. They'll come back to Dallas, where they should have been in the first place.
Which is what I will tell them when I drive to Plano and go, hey, don't make me send some boys up here.
Otherwise, you and me going to take a visit to the sand trap.
Where you get to play golf with Vinny, who's underneath the seventh hole. All right, we'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
5:32, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy from the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Talk about that thing. KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle Traffic is brought to you by REI. Whole lot going on. This is the very worst of it. We're starting off from Fort Worth, southbound 35W, just before Golden Triangle. Got a bus fire blocking the right lane. The bus is put out, but it's still blocking traffic. Traffic's backed up back from West Fort Parkway. Also in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, right at Spur 280. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the left lane. Traffic there's backed up back from Long Avenue. Into Forest Hill, eastbound I-20, right near Mansfield Highway Business 287. That road construction there has finally been cleared out. Traffic is still jacked up back from Campus Drive. In Grand Prairie, westbound I-20 at Great Southwest Park, we got a stalled truck blocking the left lane. Traffic's backed up back to the belt line. And finally, in McKinney, northbound 75, right at Virginia Parkway, got an accident there. That one has you backed up back from Ridgeview Drive. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
That's right. Eagle weather brought to you by the Don Davis Auto Group. Rain tonight, a low of 54. Tomorrow, some more rain with a high of 67. Right now, 59 degrees. And 97.1, the Eagle.
What's going on, boss? What up? I just want to say thank you for everything you do, man. No problem, sir. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Have a good day.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Are you having a seizure?
I just flashed back. I'm at Raleigh's going, man, Betsy Price will drink you on the freaking table.
Yeah, where he's saying, like, man, I travel with her. It's crazy.
Man, I go to bed, she don't come back into the room.
I know, I almost envision it sort of being like they have to go on some, like, mayor's conference somewhere. And Mayor Raleigh says, all right, I'm going to bed. And you know Betsy's talking trash as he's leaving the hotel bar.
Go ahead, you go to bed. You pussy. I got to ride bicycles and fall over.
I got 12 shots lined up.
Yeah. Yet.
I'm going to finish drinking with Brendan Higgins over here in Aspen.
You're going to take one of those ski shots. So not only does he go to bed while she's still dancing on tables, he wakes up the next morning and she's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Saying, what took you so long? Were you tired? Were you tired from doing all your nothing?
I tell you one thing.
And he looks down and looks at the dark, small beverage in front of her and asks, what is that, espresso? And she says, no, it's Jaeger. The breakfast of champion mayors.
Do you think about it? And both of them talk about each other the same way.
Yeah.
You've got two mayors, one of the largest metropolitan areas in the country.
And
the third or fourth or fifth. It's almost like Mayor Raleigh. He wasn't really calling her out.
No.
It was like just a warning. Hey, if you ever go out drinking with Betsy, just plan on giving up. When she brings out that beer bong and that oil funnel. Let it go.
Don't ever challenge her at chandeliers.
Because not only will she drink them, she'll hang from them naked. This is the first time in my life I've ever heard two mayors having that type of relationship, and not afraid to talk about it on the air, because most politicians, it's, all right, how is this going to sound? Somebody's going to use a clip of this. This is going to be a bad soundbite. Mayor Rawlings, he doesn't give a flying. I've done a good job. I'm going to continue to do a good job. And really, the only unfair question I asked him was, what are you most proud of? Because it's a question I can't answer if somebody asked me.
Yeah, that's for humble people. That has got to be one of the most difficult questions. The only way you can sidestep it, though, and sort of retain your humility is to then say, I was really proud of when, and you give someone else the credit somehow. You'd be like, you know what? I was really proud the day that Councilman Dwayne Carraway, you know,
pulled his pants up.
Yes, there you go. That's what I'm most proud of. So he shares it.
I understand. That was, out of all the things I asked him, that was the only one that wasn't really fair. Because if somebody asked me about the foundation, I'm out.
I know. I still think you should have asked him about the manhole cover.
I think he's probably been asked that one before.
He may not have. He was the CEO of Pizza Hut. I don't think they asked him that question when they said, hey, who wants to be CEO? He probably walked into the room and said, give me the job. And they said, okay.
So the answer to the manhole cover is they're round so they won't fall into the hole?
That is the technical Answer, yes. However, it's one of those questions where these questions are made famous by the tech companies in Silicon Valley. It's questions that there's really no right answer. They just want to analyze your response. Like, if you could be any superhero, who would it be?
And I want to go back to the manhole cover, the round, so I can f-ing throw it like a f-ing frisbee when I f-ing kill him.
And that answer, I'm sure, tells the interviewer a lot about you and your tendencies.
I think if I was being interviewed and they asked that, do we sell manhole covers?
And they would analyze that.
Will I have to be lifting up manhole covers? Are you worried about me losing one? Are you guys notorious for losing manhole covers? Were you thinking of something else other than round? Round seems to work. How am I going to use that day to day here at my job at The Gap?
Well, from that, they might figure that you would be best suited for a particular type of job. Maybe not for a job where creative thinking would be employed.
I don't need to think about it. Manhole covers are going to be round regardless of my perspective, my opinion.
So what you're saying is...
If I thought they should look like trapezoids, no, it's not like they're going to go out and change them all of a sudden.
So what you're saying is that the shape is the way it is and it shouldn't be changed for any reason or looked at and studied and possibly changed for something better.
Does it work?
Well, clearly it works.
Do people fall down them if the cover's on there?
No.
Okay. Are they hard to get off?
Well, they can be heavy.
They're pretty heavy. So it sounds like a pretty good product. Why don't we focus on the ones that don't work? And then when we got nothing else to do, then we'll look at the manhole covers and decide, should it be a different shape, you jack off? They asked me that in a job interview. It's like, I don't care how long I've been off the air. I don't want this job. We need to know if you're creative. F*** off. How about that?
Well, we certainly know he's combative and aggressive.
People like that are normally creative. Like, what kind of dip is going to ask me about why a manhole cover is round or what kind of animal would I want to be? I'd want to be an animal that gets to f*** a lot. Whatever animal that is. Is it rabbits? If it's a rabbit, I want to be a rabbit.
Yeah, make a note. Rabbits do not growl.
He thinks horny they rabbits do. Might.
Yeah. You ever been around a horny rabbit? How would you know? Isn't this all psychological stuff, Dr. Thornton?
Yeah, industrial psychology is probably responsible for those stupid questions.
So I'm guessing you don't buy into any of it?
I've actually studied some of that a long time ago. I tried to forget it pretty quickly, though.
I love how you're so – you are not judgmental in pretty much every aspect of your life except when it comes to stupid psychology.
Yeah, I guess I have an edge about that.
You're a bad boy.
Yeah, the only issue he seems to have with anything alive is psychology. Mm-hmm. Would you ever ask any of those questions during a one-on-one session?
No. I hope not.
What's the point of those style of questioning?
Well, a lot of them try to get at a kind of personality typology, and the problem is that they're not researched very well, I think, and so it's just very intuitive. There may be some validity, but it's not proven, and it's, to me, I'd really rather get to know you than these artificial ways of trying to get to know you.
Would it be more of like if the way Russ and I played that out is I was the interviewer, it basically would then fall on me to interpret his answers, so everything I would tell higher-ups about whether to hire him is completely subjective.
Yep, yep. They say hiring by chemistry, even though everybody wants to do it, that's not how it works. You know, objective data is what you really need.
Well, I understand that. I've said that before. There are a lot of people that I like. I like President Obama. Mm-hmm. I don't like him as president. I know you do.
Yep.
But there are a lot of people I like that I wouldn't want to run this country or a company or even a kiosk.
Yeah.
It's because I like them doesn't mean they've got the talent or the intelligence to run anything.
So going here, then. Interviewing Mayor Rawlings, Betsy Price, party and dancing on tables. Jaeger for breakfast.
Just wonder how shocked he was the first time that she outdrank him. Because, you know, there had always has to be the first time. Man, you don't want to go that route.
Yeah. And there's so many different ways that it can happen. But maybe they were out at dinner, a couple glasses of wine or a couple of cocktails. And then she decides, all right, let's have, you know, a couple shots for dessert. And then the tab comes, they close out, and she says, hey, you want to go drinking?
Hey, we were just drinking just now.
No, we weren't, honey. Well, that was dinner.
But we had drinks.
We have not begun to drink.
But I'm like drunk there.
That's okay, honey. You come with me. We're going to show you how Tarrant County parties.
The city of Dallas is bigger than Fort Worth.
That doesn't matter.
I got to go back to my room. You going to raw dog me?
Man, that took a quick turn.
I'm too drunk. I got the mayoral drunk weenie.
Oh, no. What's this?
That's okay. I'll do a little act for you. I have this capuchin monkey and a unicycle.
That would be a hell of a dinner table, though.
What?
Yeah. Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Price, and the capuchin.
Another glass of Chardonnay for the capuchin. A small one because he's got the little monkey hands. Who wants dessert? Betsy, how about some spotted dick?
Oh, God, that's not a dessert item.
It is. Mine's not.
It's more of a main course. Sorry.
Yeah, I can't ask for my own street. I don't deserve one. It's egotistical if you keep asking for one. It didn't really dawn on me till just now. It's like earlier when you said street, whatever. It's like, oh, I haven't done enough for the city of Dallas. I haven't. That was inappropriate. I apologize.
You are so clever.
I don't.
Okay.
I haven't.
So you're going to guilt him into giving you a street.
I'm not going to get a street. Normally you give streets to people after they're dead.
Yeah, it's a very rare thing that you get a street or a building when you're alive. Usually, in order to get those things, you have to donate buckets and buckets of cash.
Well, it also depends on what it is. It's like nobody gets a stamp until they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want them, first of all, give them a stamp, and then they wig out and then go screw a bunch of donkeys at a county fair. Oh, man, really? We had to put out that special postage stamp for Ben Garrison.
And you're right. That's part of the reason they wait until you're dead. They don't want you realizing you go somewhere and you see your face on a stamp, and all of a sudden you're so just overcome with egoism. You're just like, yeah.
But there's some instances where they think, okay, that's probably a safe bet. Thus, the Daddy Bush Tollway.
Yeah, it's pretty much a safe bet. You become a president, you're going to get schools and roads and highways named after you, whether you were good or not. Because at the very least, even if you were the worst president ever, your hometown is still going to have an elementary school named after you.
That must have been a painful day for Jimmy Carter's hometown. We owe him one, at least a high school.
God, why do we have to do this?
Oh, give him one of those annexes, like those mobile homes next to the school.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Give him one of the temporary buildings.
The ones that normally blow away.
Ones with the window units.
I would think with Mayor Rawlings, nobody's going to oppose him. If they do, it's going to be a waste of cash, a waste of time.
Someone will oppose him. I'm sure they will. It's just a matter of, you know, who is it going to be? But I'm with you. And maybe that's part of the reason why. I don't know the timing. I don't know if when you announce for mayor, it usually comes at this time. But by announcing what feels to me as early, maybe that dissuades anyone thinking about it, saying, I don't want to go up against, I don't want to go up against Big Mike.
One of the mayoral elections, is it April?
Keep going.
It's not November, is it?
No.
May?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go. So, I mean, we're like 6 months out.
Well, maybe it's the, because I think it is, you have to live in the city for 6 months,
uh-huh.
I think. So maybe just to be fair, he announces now, just, hey, in case one of you fungi want to move into town, live for 6 months, and think you can run for f***ing mayor.
Mm-hmm. And he's really, if you really add up some of his greatest hits, his resume is pretty sparkling as far as someone coming in trying to say that he's not doing, or that he's not doing a good job, I could do a better job. You're like, City of Dallas.
He didn't do the mudslinging. Is that what you're talking about?
If I was to run, just hypothetically, it's not like I could attack him and say, oh, he did a terrible job. Look at all the stuff he screwed up.
That's okay. Badmouth me all you want. Look, I bought you some shoes. 9.5.
What kind of shoes? Those are a little small, but what kind of shoes?
Well, they have rebar in them.
Ooh.
And they're really heavy. You don't want to go swimming in them.
if you think about some of the stuff that he's done, that he's pretty much impervious to attack on, the Ebola stuff, handled that really well. The one of the few cities.
I'll tell you what he screwed up was the Occupy Dallas. I told him.
He's one of the few cities that can point back and say, we did not make national and international news with some of the stuff that happened with our protesters.
No, because you let them walk all over you.
Well, that's.
And I warned him.
Yeah.
You got to cut these guys off, enforce the law. You know what the laws are. People can't just set up in a city park or whatever and go, hey, I'm going to live here. Well, people have their rights. They do. But they also need to be reminded of the laws. I'm not saying he was wrong, but he was wrong. Will you come visit me at the Trinity River?
I have a new protest site for you.
I want you to be, Russ, I want you to be in charge of my Occupy to the Bottom of the Trinity campaign. That way you can keep track of the dead bodies.
And don't lose count.
Okay. What do you want to do now?
Well, we have a doctor here. Any pressing mental issues you want to talk to him about?
Am I drunk?
Yeah.
Perfect.
He's done. Go.
A 55-year-old woman is suing Bill Cosby, claiming he sexually assaulted her in 1974.
Does this add to the 17, or is this one of the...
I think this adds to it. I think this would make like 18. In 1974, that was when she was 15. Judy Huth says she and a friend met Cosby on the set of a movie being filmed in Los Angeles. A week later, he invited them to his tennis club where they played pool, and he made them a drink. What are you doing?
Just pay attention to the story.
All right, well, that'll make one of us. Anyway, and he made them drink a beer every time he won a game. Then he took the girls to the Playboy Mansion and told them to say they were 19 if anybody asked. He eventually got Huth alone in a bedroom where he touched her inappropriately and used her hand to pleasure himself. I can see you.
Stop watching the video stream.
I'm not watching the video stream. I have peripheral. All right. Meanwhile, a Vancouver model named Lisa Jones says Bill tried to force her legs apart during what she thought was an audition for the Cosby Show in the 80s, put the bunny away. And a man has come forward to say he saved a woman from being raped by Cosby in 84. She's one of the women who was willing to testify if Bill's 2005 accuser took him to court. But this new lawsuit by the 55-year-old woman, Judy Huth, they're not sure if this one's going to stand up to the statute of limitations, but
there are no statutes because there were no police reports filed. You don't know what had happened. There's no timekeeper. There's no record of any of this. Anybody at any point could walk up and say, I could say tomorrow, Bill Cosby raped me at some Dallas concert in 1976.
Well, make it 19 now.
I go along with Bill Cosby's attorney, it's amazing that many women would keep their yaps shut forever, or almost forever. Dr. Thornton?
It is quite peculiar. But the heavy burden of proof seems to be on him now.
What would you think the reason would be? He's not saying anything.
Legalistically, I mean, I would guess that that's what you have to do. But also, I don't know if he's got a very good answer.
Does he need one? All he has to say is, I didn't do it.
Yeah, I wish he would just say that.
There's nothing. Even if they went to court, they could, you know, the chick could tell her story. He would tell his story, and we're not talking about a civil proceeding.
Yeah.
To where all you have to be is just 1% more believable than the other side.
Right.
It's going to be
unanimous, right?
And they're not going to be able to do it. There's nobody has anything. I understand being, you know, afraid of power and what he could do and what he couldn't do. But there had to be one, just the stats. I know most women that are raped, they don't go and they don't report it because they're embarrassed, like they had anything to do with it.
Embarrassed, frightened, yeah.
But out of all the women that have come out, just statistically, you would think one or two would have filed a police report.
Yeah, you would think.
Chloe, do you have any chomp? Really?
Uh-oh. I swear.
Damn it.
Someone better make a run or see if Jacob and...
Jacob's at some edge stole
Santa
thing.
Right. Okay.
So
I know while we were talking to Mayor Rawlings, I tried to put my chaw down. Sometimes I'll take it out.
Right.
And I missed and it hit the floor. And I'm out.
Is it still on the floor?
I'm not really sure where it is. I gotta look.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, I could have gotten lucky and it fell in my bag.
That is true. Although I'm not really sure what would be cleaner.
It did.
Fell in your bag?
No.
Go ahead, blow on it.
What?
This is your rock bottom.
My rock bottom would be if I dropped it in our bathroom up here and put it back in my mouth.
Okay, I'll give you that. You're looking at the bottom.
It's still moist, so it hadn't been down there long. I just don't. When I dropped it, I wanted to have a fit. But it's not like I go, excuse me, Mayor of Dallas. I just dropped my skull pouch. Could you hang on while I dig around for it on the ground? Are you really out?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one in right now?
No, I have nicotine gum.
Ah.
Why didn't you tell me that before I put this nasty thing in my mouth?
Because you don't like the nicotine gum.
Are you actually chewing the gum, or are you putting it in your lip where your pouch normally goes?
Exactly.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Do you have more than one piece?
I think I do.
Okay. So you couldn't have told me before you let me put this nasty thing in my mouth.
I didn't think you were really going to do it.
I'm sorry, all I can think of. That's what she said.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
603. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas.
Big wheels rolling. Big wheels rolling.
Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center, Alfie Coys and Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle Traffic brought to you by Supercuts. Whole lot going on. Here's the worst of it, starting off in Fort Worth.
Get on it.
Southbound 35W at Rosedale Street. Got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Long Avenue in Euless, where they can't keep track of cop cars. Southbound 360 right at Midway Drive. Got an accident there. That one has traffic completely stopped back from Mid-Cities Boulevard. In the Grand Prairie, westbound I-20, right at Great Southwest Park, we got a stalled-out truck blocking the left lane. Traffic's backed up back from Beltline. Into Irving, southbound on the bush, just before Walnut Hill, got an accident blocking the left lane. Traffic there is jacked up all the way back from 635, about a half hour through that. And finally, in Sunnyvale, eastbound Highway 80, right at Collins Road, got an accident blocking the left lane. Your backup there is back from Gus Thomason. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by REI. Tonight, some rain, a low of 54. Tomorrow, a little bit more rain and a high of 67. Right now, 59. And 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
No, I thought it would be a good idea if Alfie did live traffic on 11:90 in the morning. He wasn't big on it.
He wasn't?
No.
Why would he not be big on that?
What do you got to do? Traffic. How many times do we do traffic an hour in the morning?
Twice.
See? It's a big deal. Do traffic, take a nap.
Mornings.
You kids. I just think it would. The whole idea is to make the show 11:90 sound as much like the Eagle.
I agree with you, and you had a good idea to make that happen as well.
Well, they didn't seem to like it.
What was that?
Well, you do the, see, what are the call letters? KFXR. It's at 6:05. What time would it be in the morning now?
10:05.
Okay.
Final answer.
Okay. Let's see. 10:05. This is KFXR, Dallas Fort Worth, Texas.
Big wheels rolling, moving on.
Alfie Coys and the Mighty 1190s, White Lightning.
It works.
I can't think of anything better than that.
Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. You want the opposite of Black Thunder?
Yeah. That is true.
I like doing that.
You just like, yeah, you like, yeah.
What?
First of all, you love giving legal IDs. This gives you an opportunity to do another station. And you're talking up that country song. So you're getting to play out your fantasy of living the Shifty Gears life.
I really wanted to live out the Shifty Gears life. I'd have done it again. I did it once Saturday night into Sunday morning. That was enough.
Oh, he'll come back.
Yeah.
Nah, Shifty's dead.
He'll come back to life one of these weekends. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know he will.
Yep.
I thought they buried you. Clawed my way out. Real truckers never die. The clutches just slip a little bit.
Is that what you having to pack your mud flaps?
What, real truckers never die? I really can't believe I got on it, not a lot. But honest emails, man, we really wouldn't need you to do that. The country really needs a good overnight trucking show. Dude, get an iPod. Load up a bunch of Merle and Ronnie Millsap and whatever it is that you like, Oak Ridge Boys. You don't need somebody talking in between. I need somebody.
Somebody talking to me make me feel like they're on the road with me.
That's exactly what it is.
Your companion. You're shifting gears along with me. That's just your name, Shifty Gears.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it's your buddy in the cab with you. He's in that seat next to you, hanging out, telling stories.
Love it when Shifty Gears tells stories about the time he gave a reach around to Waylon Jennings.
See, those are the types of
he
stories.
He got that anal sex at the Rip Griffins in the Forney.
See, truckers can relate to those. Because either they've participated in it or walked in on it.
All right, Daniel, I tell you what, Slick, and you know it's bad news if I go,
yeah,
and then call you Slick.
And finger point. That's like all four things are bad, so I want nothing to do with any of it.
I'll do the Shifty Gears for an hour, and you come up with your own show, and you do it after me.
Why?
You're pushing me on this.
I'm just pushing what the people say they want.
People need a good overnight trucking show. Well, if I did it, I'd only do it for an hour. Next hour is yours. Slippy Clutch.
Why you gotta give me a name?
You gotta have a name.
Well, I don't want that name.
What's wrong with Slippy Clutch?
It sounds demeaning. See, you're over there shifting gears, and I'm Slippy Clutch. It's already negative.
And you're grinding them with.
Yeah. 905, trainees on the highway.
I have to go back and find the audio now. I still can't really remember what I did that night.
West is playing a bunch of backwards redneck duck country music. This first one goes out. The old boy flipped his 18-wheeler just now on 175. It's Len Anderson. Now I sure would like to f*** her in the day.
I beg your pardon.
You love her like the devil when you get back home.
That's Charlie Pride on the Late Night Cuckin' Show. Still one of the greatest f***ers to ever come out of country music. Here's some more f***ed up music from Bob Wills.
Deep within my heart.
That's Glenn Campbell on the Late Night Truckin' Show on the Mighty 1190. I'm Shifty Gears. This segment brought to you by the Taurus Truck Stop, family-owned and operated company. And Mama Clee does all the cooking. You want 10% off your next meal? Mention my name, Shifty Gears, and Mama Clee Taurus will take 10% off. Don't forget to ask about her snatch special. It's a pretty good song by the Elk Ridge Boys. If you like it, I'd stay away from underpasses. Otherwise, you ain't going to be able to hear the s***.
I heard about a bummy friend of mine.
It's Late Night Drunken Show on the Mighty 1190. I've shifted gears. I want to thank you for all cards and letters from my wife, Mama Gears. She had to have-
So sincere.
Well, what's sad is this really has happened. Guys, you know, come up with these names for... The only guy I ever knew that did the overnight trucking show was Bill Mack.
Yeah.
But, you know, there had to be versions all over the country. But they all got to have a cute name. And I'm sure I'm stealing somebody's name and I'm going to get sued for using Shifty Gears.
No. I refuse that to happen.
You going to Google the Shifty Gears show?
I'm just Googling that. Oh, crap.
Oh.
Wait. One's dead.
There was a jock named Shifty Gears.
I don't know if he's a jock. Let's see. Hang on. Let me close here.
One.
Harold Shifty Gears.
Are you for real?
Oh yeah. He's long dead. Okay. You might be okay. Harold Shifty Gears.
You might just be okay.
Are you present tense? Shatting me?
It looks like he was a baseball player. On with the Kodaks in Detroit in 1936.
You really think I was the first person to come up with, all right, hey, let's do an overnight trucking show. I'll call my name Shifty Gears. Nothing else shows up on the internet.
Harold Shifty Gears, the veteran softball pitcher, is still going strong for Kodak Park, which opens defense of its city title against the Terrence tonight. They're like news clippings from back in the day.
What year? Say the 30s?
That was in the 30s. Okay, wait, here we go. All right, this may be a problem.
Well, I don't want his estate coming after me.
Well, here we have Dan Shifty Gears Raymond. It's on a website called Reverb Nation. Looks like he might be a singer.
Yeah.
You've heard of him?
No, I'm just saying on Reverb Nation, that's all it is music.
Oh. Sounds like the Beatles, Elvis Costello, and Ween.
Why would you call your name Shifty Gears?
Well, that's a good question. He says, I'm an independent singer-songwriter, recently relocated to Jacksonville, Florida from Broomfield, Colorado. I play solo acoustic shows, mixing dozens of originals and about 75 covers, mostly from the 50s to the 70s. So basically, he's Dr. Thornton.
Yeah.
Well, you
when
play
Dr. Thornton plays at Poor David's Pub.
Yeah, you're an acoustic guitarist and you play covers and stuff.
A singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
All right. So you think I'm protected?
I think you'd probably be okay.
Shifty Gears lives.
Get away from underpasses. Otherwise, you ain't going to be able to hear the
I heard about a bummy
It's Late Night Drunken Show on the Mighty 1190. I've shifted gears. I want to thank you for all the cards and letters from my wife, Mama Gears. She had to have that cyst removed from her cyst. We're going to keep things going. We're driving mean and shitting caffeine, kicking ass and hitting lanes. It's Late Night Drunken Show on the Mighty 1190.
I hear fights inside of me.
It's a Late Night Trucking Show on the Mighty 1190. I'm Shifty Gears, and we hope you'll donate for this worthy cause over the holidays. It's shit house for the blind. It's blind people who keep shit in the wrong place.
There's the reason.
God.
S house for the blind.
What?
S house for the blind.
Oh, is that funny to you?
Yep.
The blind people who keep shit in the wrong place? It's the shit house for the blind. Some kind of beep beep noise we send out so they know where they can take a sh.
No.
Did you really think I'd be able to write something for that every week?
I'm just saying, if you feel compelled. By the way, going back to the softball great Shifty Gears.
Yeah.
He holds a record of 54 no hit games.
Wow,
that's impressive.
You got to be going up against some real retards. Can't hit a softball.
Nolan only had 7.
Nolan.
Ryan.
No, he wasn't playing softball.
I'm just saying. He doesn't have.
Softball.
Shifty Gears has 54 no-hitters. Nolan Ryan doesn't have any in softball.
Did Nolan Ryan play softball?
I don't know. He may have stumbled on a game or two.
Softball size of a grapefruit. You can't hit that with a bat. There's something seriously wrong with your clutch.
Or there's something seriously right with the way Shifty Gears pitched.
Well, I certainly don't want to take away from his legacy.
Damn. His record is 683 wins, 87 losses.
You're really going to follow this.
He has 11,500 strikeouts. This guy's a legend.
Does your Harold name, Shifty Gears?
Yes, your name going as Shifty Gears is more of a tribute as opposed to stealing anything. You're fine.
Keep the legacy alive.
This man needs a damn statue.
Maybe there aren't all the accolades that come along with softball that you get with baseball.
Clearly not. You know, and that's part of the problem. Is he was
how many strikeouts?
11,500 strikeout total, close to 11,500.
Was he playing paraplegics?
Man, I don't know. In 1935, when Kodak was runner-up in the national tournament in Chicago, Gears pitched 6 games in 3 days, winning the first 5 by shutouts and losing the final to Toledo 3-1.
Hey, I bet on that radio show years in Dallas-Fort Worth, you ain't never talked about no softball player that had over 11,000 strikeouts.
Boom.
In your face.
I'm sorry, I just really did not expect someone of such stature to pop up in the Google results.
Maybe I should have Googled it before I tried doing that show. It just seemed to stick out.
It does. Oh, wait. Shifty Gears got a Facebook.
I almost let that one go. You're gonna have to say it again.
Oh, no. Looks like Shifty Gears is a Facebook profile.
Oh, s***.
You're good. It's a mountain biking business.
Oh, okay.
So you're fine.
So it's a jock. Yeah, you can take almost anything.
Yeah.
Because there were jocks. I'm sure that it goes all the way back to the beginning of rock and roll radio in the 50s. But jocks in the 80s, they would, hey, it's Michael J. Fox on they would take popular names and use it on the air. I'm surprised anybody does that anymore.
I'm trying to think if I can think of anybody off the top of my head that's
Billy
still...
the Kid.
Jagger.
Well, Jagger, that's part of his real name, isn't it?
Not really.
I can guess what his real name is, but he'll get mad.
He's going to squash you.
Yeah, he's a squasher.
Oh, anyways.
So we've covered Shifty Gears' baseball, softball career.
It's impressive. And it's not fair because he was playing at the time that, you know, Babe Ruth was making headlines. So he was just overshadowed.
Babe Ruth was the king of SWAT. This guy was the pitcher for softball.
I know. This
throwing balls the size of melons.
This which makes it an even greater challenge.
They had to be playing somebody from the house for the blind. I've seen some wicked underhand softball pitches.
Yes.
I don't know what speeds they get up to, but it gets really impressive, but it's still something the size of a grapefruit.
Which means it's a greater challenge for the pitcher because it should be easier for the batter to hit your ball.
I suppose. And you think they'd hit more of those balls with the batter being on the defense.
You son of a bitch.
Lick it.
Defending home plate.
Batter's box, home plate.
There's also a catcher's box.
And the catcher's supposed to stay in his box.
So is the batter.
Well, the batter stays in his box, but I can't stay in the box if somebody's throwing crap at me.
That's the whole point, though. That's where you're supposed to stay in your box.
You're throwing crap at me. It's like there's some type of punishment. I have to protect home plate. My home plate. Batter's box.
Then if you're protecting
home plate is inside batter's box. It means it's my home plate.
No, because the catcher's box is in the similar position as the batter's box. The difference is, if you're truly protecting home plate, then why do you leave it?
Because I finally hit a... Way one of his projectiles,
right? Which means
he was trying to cause damage, and I ran.
No matter where he goes, the ball is going to go back toward him. Even if he were to just hit it and stay there, it's going to come right back at him somehow.
They keep throwing it at me the entire time. I get to first base, throw it at me. Then I try and get a lead off. They accuse me of stealing it, even though I didn't pick nothing up. Oh, he stole second base. I didn't pick up anything. You and your gang posse keep coming at me. I'm trying to make it back home, and that guy with all the armor is blocking me. You know, I throw down my bat. Why am I talking like this?
It's the Shifty Gears baseball debate.
Dan, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it possible, or is there such a thing for a batter to have a defensive swing?
Yes.
Doesn't that prove Russ's point?
No. Because in order to have, at what you said, you actually helped yourself. At times, a batter will have a defensive swing, which means other times it's offensive.
I don't think he helped himself.
I'm saying he helped me.
And you just worked into a gray area.
No, I didn't.
Sometimes he has a defensive swing. Sometimes he has an offensive swing. Which is it?
But
now you've opened up a gray area.
I haven't.
Now slip in.
There's nothing to slip in. The point of the batter is still to score runs, which means he is on offense.
I am there to protect home plate, and then I am awarded prizes if I am able to make it to all the other plates and then make it back home.
But it's not your home. You infiltrated the home.
If it ain't my home, how come I didn't get arrested when I got there? Dude, you come to the wrong window.
The police thing works both ways.
How many times a guy ever make it around all the bases and slides back into home and goes to jail?
Hang on.
Go ahead, give it a shot, Slick.
I'm thinking it may have happened. Ty Cobb should have been in jail for some of the stuff he did in the field.
Should have been, but didn't. So, where are you going now, Slick?
All I have to go back to is that if you are trying to score runs, you are on offense. That's the end of the argument right there.
It should be, but it's not.
Well, it's not because you won't let it go.
I don't have to let it go because I'm right, Mandy.
All right, that's it.
All right, get away.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
That's a chuckle! 6:30, another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by REI. whole lot going on right now. Here's the very worst of it. Let's start off in Fort Worth. Southbound 35W, just before Golden Triangle. Got the remnants from that bus fire. Still blocking the right lane. Traffic's jacked up back from Westport Parkway. Also in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, right at Rosedale Street. Got an accident blocking the right lane. You're back up there. It's back to the Long Avenue. Into Grand Prairie, westbound I-20, a Great Southwest Parkway. Still got that stalled truck blocking the left lane. Traffic's backed up back from Dalton Line Road. Into Irving, southbound of the bush, just before Walnut Hill. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic there is jacked up back from 635. And in McKinney, southbound 75, right at El Dorado Parkway. Got an accident there. That one has traffic completely stopped back from Weston Road. If you try and stick through it, you look at an hour delay. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by State Farm. See, got some rain for tonight, 54 for a low. Tomorrow, a little bit more rain, a high of 67. Right now, 58. At 97, stop it. Won the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Printed out your show notes from last week, Dr. Thornton, but I can't find them. Do you remember what you said?
Yeah.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Got it here.
Oh, you kept it?
Yep.
What'd you say?
Hold on.
Oh, he's looking up on his phone. Was it mostly positive things or?
Yeah, I was talking about the communistic salary cap practices of pro sports that, you know, and
why do you call it communistic?
Because Dan said that with a twinkle in his eye at the time.
Alfie, is it on my printer?
I don't believe it is. Let me check on top.
It's not going to be on top.
I got it here if you want it.
Sure, go ahead.
Read it?
Yep.
No, just think about it in a positive fashion.
All right. Russ. Last time I was here, we discussed a story related to salary caps in pro sports. Dan, with a wink, called it communistic practice, the obvious irony being that players, teams, leagues, networks, and fans all benefit from this arrangement. It keeps the playing field more level, keeps the game stronger. My mind naturally went to the analogy that regulations in the economy at large at some point must occur or it spoils the whole process of capitalism, and I wondered if you or Dan went there in your minds too for a moment, mostly because of Dan's communist comment. At any rate, we moved on. And then the irony continued as we celebrated your negotiations with your own corporate world to get Chloe a raise and Alfie a full-time job. Let me be very clear. I am not calling you a liberal. I am just saying, you go, boss, you the man, sticking it to the man for your men. See you soon, comrade. Scott.
Damn, you threw in comrade.
Also called me a liberal without calling me a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a liberal thing.
Well, why did you have to preface it with, I'm not calling you a liberal?
Because you think I am all the time.
Well, you do.
Well, I don't.
You don't. I made a deal with the station. I knew 1190 had no money. They wanted to carry the show. So I went, all right. I've already signed my contract for the next 3 years. What other leverage do I have? Okay, you can have it if you do a couple of things for me, sort of.
Yeah. That's spreading the wealth. That's, you know, it's this bad word.
Spreading the wealth. God, that is
it is. Yes, he's got you here.
Damn it. It's not. It's standing up for your troops.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. And it shouldn't be considered a liberal issue. It should be an everyman issue, every person issue.
But you still felt like it was liberal in some fashion, or you wouldn't have to preface it with, hey, I'm not. It's like calling a fat chick. Hey, no offense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but you don't sweat much for a fat chick.
But, yeah, for a fat chick, ain't a lot of fluid coming out of you. Moo.
I see what he's saying because it's right now it's a more conservative ideal to say it's all capitalism, and if you get left behind, that's your fault. I am under no obligation to help you or anything like that.
But I am under an obligation because there are people, everybody on this show produces something. It's the people that expect something and want to do nothing. To me, those are liberals. It's the ones that work their asses off and expect nothing. Those are just short of a hero. And that's who I stand up for.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Piss on you, degree man.
I really appreciate how you stood up for your men.
Even though it makes me a liberal.
Again, I don't think that should be caused for causing anyone a liberal. I just know that that's the reflex, so I went ahead and addressed it to get it out of the way.
I wouldn't perceive that as being a liberal had you not thrown that qualifier in.
I would have, just because that's what I'm saying. Right now the ideal is, like, if you're the owner of a business, like let's say a big company, and you want to pay your workers as little as possible in order to maximize profits.
It's not coming out of my pocket.
No.
So that doesn't really change.
You would be the big company if you were to parallel the two.
I would be the big company if I were actually paying Chloe and Alfie out of my own pocket.
But you had,
I made the deal of, you can have the show for free for $11.90 if you take care of these two people.
Right, and as opposed to,
that doesn't make me a liberal or a conservative. That makes me the Messiah.
There you go. Keep that thought.
Because so from this point forward, there is no conservative. There is no liberal.
Gotcha.
There is only Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas the large company would have instead kept the extra profit for itself.
Joy to the world.
I couldn't take any extra money for myself because I'd already signed my contract.
You signed your contract with 97.1 The Eagle and iHeartMedia.
Technically, they could have taken the show and used it on their own. Well, but good luck getting it from us.
Right, exactly.
Because we're the only ones that record it.
Yeah.
I did it because it was
the right thing to do.
Yeah. That there's no political slant or anything on that. That just makes me the Messiah. They call the wind Messiah.
Oh. For a second there, I thought you played the wrong sound effect.
No, not that one. I want to be the person, when I die, somebody at least goes, oh, that's too bad, as opposed to good. I don't want any more than that. It's just, he didn't treat me like a dick. He stood up for me when he had to. Like, there was a promotions kid. I don't know what he was carrying, but he was carrying a lot of stuff walking down the hall today, mm-hmm. as I was coming in. I looked at him and went, door? He goes, please.
Oh, God.
So I held the door open, and he got out into the lobby area. I went, elevator? He goes, yes, down. Oh, when I got it. God bless you. I held the door open, and I pressed a button. There's no God bless you.
Lesser people would have looked at him and said, dude, get a dolly, and then walk off.
But not the Messiah.
Mm-mm. He's the man that parted doors. I'm really surprised.
There are so many dicks in radio. Do I really have to represent one of them?
That's the problem, is in anything entertainment related, but obviously radio, because that's what we do. People are going to say crap about you, whether it's true or not.
I don't give a flying F. All I know is what the truth is. If somebody needs help, I don't mind doing it, especially if they're working their ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the promotional kids. Some of them are interns. Some of them are getting paid dick money. If I hold the door open and open an elevator, that doesn't really make me a... What would it make me?
I'm not allowed to say it.
Good guy?
Oh, you said it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you walked right into that, Dr. Thornton.
I didn't say,
damn you, man. I just, it's, and there were people walking by this kid that didn't offer to help him.
And I'm not saying that everyone that walked by had this thought, but I know some people up here do. They see that kid hauling the box of whatever and see, that's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. I don't have to do that because I'm above you.
Where on the food scale, how do people get to that level where they think on the food scale or the evolutionary scale, I'm above you to where I don't have to hold open a damn door for somebody that's just trying to do a job?
That kind of stuff hits people quick. They get
the ego thing?
Yeah. I've seen it up here where...
Well, if it would hit anybody, it certainly hit me. I'm wildly entertaining.
Yet here you are holding doors.
I hold doors because it's the right thing to do.
Well, not everyone does that.
I'm sorry, Alfie. Where were you going with this?
I've seen that from people up here where they'll get a slight raise or a slight, I guess, promotion, and all of a sudden they're too good to do what they were just doing 6 weeks ago.
Is this one directed at Chloe?
I'm not going to say no.
I f***ing knew it.
Wow.
Chloe gets an 8% raise after 4 years. Goes to his big head.
Really? How?
I don't know. Alfie's the one that hates you.
No, I'm trying to think of who he's really talking about.
Are there really people up here that get a slight raise and think, all right, well, that's beneath my pay scale?
Yes.
And that's not limited to here. I've seen that everywhere I've worked. Happened at CBS. It's happened in pretty much any job I've ever had.
That's just another aspect of life I don't get.
I don't either.
And I don't know if it means I need therapy or I've missed something. Dr. Thornton?
No, you're fine. Don't worry about that.
Okay, that didn't really sound.
No,
that's the time.
Ooh, man.
That's the time for Dan to say.
Well, I believe you. especially, and it wasn't just what he said and how he said it. It was also the body language. As he just kind of leaned back, couldn't even care to stop, into the microphone and go, no, you're good. Yeah, whatever, baby. You're good.
No reason for me to address this. I'd have to contribute something.
Yeah, stroke your ego, whatever. You chill.
Anything?
Just hail to the chief, dude.
No. This is not an ass kiss, obviously.
The problem is with other people. Because other people do, when they get some sort of promotion or anything like Alfie was saying, they enjoy stepping on the people underneath them because they get off on it. They enjoy having that power.
So they must have been faking it before. Yeah, they must have been miserable before if they're suddenly liberated to be dicks.
But they're not going to be happy that long, or that sense of power isn't going to last that long, because then they think, all right, I got to go to the next level.
Yep.
There is no next level. Either you want to do the job or you don't want to do the job. And if you really want to do the job and it's enough for you to have a place to live and feed yourself, then that's enough money. That doesn't mean I was going to let Clear Channel screw me over. Mm-hmm. I was going to film as hard as I could. Okay. And I did, man.
I was going to say, you need to change what you're saying, and you did on perfect timing.
Well, you know, that's a lot of money asked for. You know what my response was?
What? Okay.
And that was it. You look at the ceiling, you look back at them, and you nod up and down. You go. And you don't say anything else. Well, you didn't say anything. You just looked at the ceiling and looked back at me and nodded up and down.
Oh, he said so much. The only thing.
Well, aren't you going to say anything? I already told you what the price is. And I told you when I gave you the price, it was going to be, to me, what I thought was fair.
Yep.
And I'm not going to sway from that. And I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm just not trying to play games. If you got it, great. If you can't come up with it, I understand. And all that's documented.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to be able to do it. Okay, then I understand. And I can work through the end of the contract if you want. And yeah, my word, and I've done it before. I've worked knowing I was going to leave and I didn't say anything about it. Well, is there anything we can do? You can give me that amount.
I've already told you my terms. As you said, it's documented. Right here. Look. Right there. It says that. Right there. Give me that. We all happy.
The whole idea is to give them a fair figure.
Mm-hmm.
And don't. Not a matter of not compromising. You just have to stick to it. Because if you, let's say I ask for $100 and they go, well, all we got is 20. Well, I really need $100. But I didn't even go that far. I said, I want $100. Well, we can get 20. I ignored all the communications. Well, any response? You already had my response.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could probably get you $45.
Still no response.
Another couple weeks. Well, a reaction to that? You have my first response. Well, okay, I think we can go $65. Okay. I want $130 now.
Made me mad.
It's just a matter of not playing games, and, yeah. And people don't seem to understand that. Like, well, they're asking this, so they're obviously going to come down to this. No, I'm not going to do it. If I wanted to play those games, I'd get an agent and have him screw me out of 10% a year. But I'm not going to do it. If I tell you something, it's one of the few qualities I have. I'm not going to lie about it. If you think I'm lying, kiss my ass and test me.
Yeah.
And I can say that now because the contract I have is a no-cut 3-year.
All right.
You stuck with me. We're stuck together. We're like two dogs that just mated.
Not any bucket of water is going to get us apart.
I think I had somewhat said that. Just.
Well, I didn't know if you got the whole two dogs stuck
together. Like you did the hand motions, too.
Yeah, as if someone was confused.
Well, you kind of looked at me like, okay, the whole water thing, pouring them on the dog, it's like, you know, when you...
Once again, with the hand gesture. Yes, we know. We get it.
And all this started back of me being accused of being a liberal.
See what you did, Dr. Thornton?
I didn't. Just a good guy.
Why do political categories have to come into play?
We were talking about the communist NBA NFL.
Dan brought that up.
Yeah. And that just happened to be what was going on that day. I was last year. And I just saw irony there. And
irony on my part?
No. Just in the situation. I didn't think you were behaving ironically. I just thought that it was ironic that your behavior was against the corporation, so to speak. It was challenging the corporation.
Dan, you look like you get it.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking to you. Chloe, what does he mean?
I'm just looking at all the glitter on your face. And I can't. That's the only thing I'm staring at.
I'm sorry, I hug gay people today.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
6:55. This is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas, over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coys and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by REI. Whole lot going on. Traffic still sucks bad. Get started off in Dallas, westbound I-20, right at Polk Street. Got an accident there blocking the two left lanes. Traffic is backed up back from Houston School Road. In Mesquite, southbound 635, right at Town East. Got an accident there in the clearing stage. Just traffic there is backed up all the way back from Plano Road. In the Sunnyvale, westbound Highway 80, just before Lawson Road. Got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back from FM 740. In Grand Prairie, southbound 360, right at Carrier Parkway. Got an accident blocking the two left lanes. Traffic is backed up back from Midway. About an hour delay through that. And in Grapevine, westbound 635, right at 121, got an accident blocking the ramp to go southbound there. That one has traffic completely stopped back to MacArthur, also about an hour delay through that mess. Listen to Cindy Skull at 7:25 in the morning all this week for a shot at a pair of Win 'em Before You Can Buy 'em tickets to go see Bush at the Southside Ballroom on March 11th. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by State Farm. Some rain tonight, a low of 54. Tomorrow, some rain and a high of 67. Right now, 58. At 97.1, the Eagle.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
I did that.
Okay.
Where'd Dr. Thornton go? He had to leave to go to those poor people's pub.
Poor David's pub. Yes, it's open mic night.
And you really don't think it should be called those poor people's pub?
No, because it's not always that.
What type of quality entertainment do they have on these nights for a poor people's pub?
Well, I know they have Dr. Thornton, and that's a blessing.
That's one of those poor people. You are our last hope.
The good thing is that it's a bunch of the people that are going there to express themselves, to share their art. That's
a
beautiful thing.
Do it on YouTube. Do it out in the middle of the street.
Well, what do you care? You don't have to be there for it.
I do. Like, somebody have some balls. Go do it out on the street. Be a street performer. Make some cash.
No,
stop going to the poor people's pub and torturing them.
Well, that takes some balls to do that. It's to get up on stage and do that all by yourself.
Yeah. Especially in probably amongst a crowd that didn't intend on hearing you. It's the same thing whether you're on the street or in a bar. It's a performance. It's something to be appreciated.
It just seems.
Why you got to poop on it?
I'm not pooping on it. It just seems pathetic.
Why is it pathetic that someone wants to perform and do things to make someone's day a little better?
Why does somebody else have to be there? Like, if I practice a song on the guitar and I finally get one down, mm-hmm. and when that day comes, I'll be proud of myself.
And you may want to share it with everyone.
There's no reason to share it with anybody. It's an accomplishment I made on my own. I don't need external accolades.
And some people do it because they have stage fright, so they want to get up in front of people to get used to it.
So you think getting up on stage in front of people and sucking is a way to get over stage fright?
If that's what it takes, then yeah.
And you got to get over that hump.
Tell which claps are genuine and which ones are like, oh, my God, I guess I better clap. I'm only one of three here. So.
Yeah. Pity clap, happy clap, and condescending clap.
Is the condescending, is that the golf clap?
It can be. It's more like the slow clap, like with like the dirty look on the face. Like, it's almost like it's extra hard for emphasis.
That one's almost like an I hate you.
Well, yeah, I mean,
the golf clap to me is the pity one of.
Oh, good for him. Look what he accomplished.
Boy. Wow. I was able to get there.
Clearly, no one else could do what you just did.
Yeah, it's amazing he was able to do that with arms and legs.
My dog did that.
Obviously, he enjoys it. I don't know why. They don't give him money.
I
bet they don't give him free drinks, even though they get free radio out of Dr. Thornton.
Yeah, they should really lay out the red carpet for him. Mm-hmm. They should give him a tab and a check. But really just a tab. That's a decent start.
Hang on. Mariah Carey's on NBC right now.
Good for her.
Oh, is this her Christmas song?
This is the performance she was 3 hours late to.
Oh, we've got the version that Alfie cut up.
Mm-hmm. That's much better than this.
Give me a second.
Yeah, Alfie, do you know what performance this is that she's doing right now?
I have no clue.
I read a thing earlier today that she was supposed to be doing her song. It looks like she's in New York. Maybe this was recorded yesterday. But she was like 3 hours late for her performance.
Well, you got, he's that big, you can be 3 hours late. Mm-hmm. You let me see him. Let's see. What's the name of the song? All I Want?
Yeah, All I Want for Christmas.
Okay. Got anything else you want to read or you want to go out on this?
Oh, Let me read something, then you play that.
Got it. Go.
Oh, yeah, I want to do this one. An Iowa man assaulted his pregnant wife during a dispute in Des Moines. According to police, Marvin Tremaine Hill, he's 21, allegedly became upset when his spouse arrived home with a McChicken from McDonald's for him to eat prior to them going to their ultrasound for the unborn child. Hill told police that he does not like McChicken sandwiches. So he threw the sandwich at his wife. He then picked up the bun and threw it at her again. The wife told police that her husband actually smashed the bun in her face. Police noted that she had mayo on her shirt and face when first contacted by an officer. Since he was judged the primary aggressor during the incident, Hill was arrested for domestic assault and booked into the Polk County Jail, where he stays. The department report noted a McChicken was the tool or weapon used during the crime.
There's got to be some type of cutoff of what's really a weapon, what's not a weapon. I don't know how big a McChicken is.
It's a little sandwich. I mean, it's not a slider, but I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a Big Mac.
I mean, if you got hit in the face, would it hurt? Well, say somebody hit you in the face with a Nerf ball. You still threw a projectile at them.
It's going to be alarming. Just because it doesn't hurt doesn't mean it should be okay to do. Today a McChicken, tomorrow...
I know where you're going. I know where you want to go. What's up the scale?
Quarter pounder with
Big
cheese.
Mac.
Yeah, Big Mac. Quarter pounder with cheese, Big Mac. Mm-hmm.
A McFlurry.
The Mac. Next thing you know, it's the whole damn Happy Meal.
And those are tougher now than they used to be. Now they give those kids apple slices. It's a lot heavier than French fries.
I'm getting hit in the head with French fries while the McBurglar's holding me down. Or the Hamburglar. Suck this. Suck my curly fry.
Next thing you know, you're getting tag teamed on the Happy Playground.
And the mayor's watching, not helping me at all.
Mayor Cheeseburger, I hate him anyway.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Want to go here?
Sure.
Okay. Are you guys going to cut up new ones for this year?
Yes.
Let me ask you in a sober fashion. Are you guys going to cut up new ones?
That is the goal.
Okay.
The hard thing is, though, is that you've actually been pretty happy this year. I'm going to have to actually make a happy Christmas jingle.
I'll try and give you some nasty stuff over the next couple of weeks.
Well, that we have lots of. Dirty, nasty, is that what you mean?
Well, you said I've been happy this year, so you got really nothing to throw into the songs.
Well, I like the angry ones, like where you're yelling at women callers and things like that.
Yeah, chicks stop doing that.
I know.
Alfie, what's line one?
He's calling to defend that poor people's pub.
Oh, all right. Yes, Rich. 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 No. Yes. What?
Sounds like he's talking through his
blowhole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Dildo can't work a phone. Hey. Hello. Yeah?
Hey, boss.
Yeah. Merry f***ing Christmas. There.
Thank you.
There's a soundbite for you.
Yes.
I said, I didn't come here to preach, but hey, I just want to tell you about Jesus. I don't want a lot for Christmas. Jesus said, shut up. You get nothing. He said, you stop. Stop expecting more. Stop worrying about other people. Jesus said, worry about you.
He's God Almighty. He liked heaven so much, he bought the company.
Praise God.
With a name like Jesus, he's got to be good. Hey, God Almighty. Trust your car to the man who made the stars. He's standing and licking and kept on kicking. Jesus Christ! Follow our leader, he's on a hunt! Mm-mm, God! He's the Alpha and the Omega! He is the Master of the Mighty! The Hero of Heroes! Jesus Christ gives you wings! Praise God! He'll leave the light on for you! Shut up, shut up, you ain't got your words. Just pray, God, in Jesus' name, you. See my bow tie, tie my bow tie. Tie my bow tie, see my bow tie.
For more information on The Russ Martin Show, go to russmartin.com. To get signed up for The Russ Martin Show audio archives, go to russmartin.fm. Other show websites, djclo.net, danomalley.com, and alfiecoy.com. For all things, 97.1 The Eagle, go to KEGL.com. For all things, Talk Radio 1190, go to 1190talkradio.com. Rodney Anderson is up next.
All right, see you guys tomorrow.
Later.
The Metroplex.